B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
All right, we get down to business. On getaway day, Las Vegas awaits. The Eagles to play the Raiders out in Vegas, and we will be there for it. John Kincaid show on The Fanatic. Bob, turn on that mic, would you please, just so we don't have that.
I'm good.
Wow.
No,
beautiful.
Yep. I fixed it yesterday. Yes. After the show was done, I got my toolkit out, and it just needed a Phillips head screwdriver and a little turn. We were good to go.
Jamie, you ain't buying that crap, are you?
No. Bob the Builder, you are not.
It's not true. What do you say, Pat?
I'm focused on my own issue because the keyboard track broke yesterday, and that's still...
Jamie's keyboard does not type the letter R. I told him, I said, stop being a whiner. Just don't use words with R in it.
Yeah, it's easy fix.
It's not that hard. Find your way around it.
Sure. It's like...
happy birthday.
This Caesars had a good game last night. Didn't Al Gore take all the W's off of the keyboards in the White House before he left? Yes. Kind of like that, Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they found the strength to carry on. You can too.
The pettiness of all kinds of politicians, Pat, can never be in any way underestimated. 6 a.m. sponsor is our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro, and we appreciate you getting in early with us today on our getaway day. Well, plenty on the Eagles and the Raiders in the course of the show today, but let's open up with a double shot of some great news. And first up, let's go to New Orleans, where both Jamie and Bob yesterday, I wrote it down because mainly I'd love to be able to just come back and go, guys, you were way off on this. They were both exactly correct. Both of them had an instinct, a feeling that the Sixers might blow out the Hornets last night. And at halftime, Pelicans. And at halftime, I'm thinking, they're letting this team hang around. They're letting a team that can't shoot the basketball well hang around. And then in the second half, that third quarter was beautiful. And then they were able to rest Joel Embiid. Bob, that is the kind of load management in a blowout win that I like. Let Joel Embiid do his business, get a lead, and then take him out.
Yeah.
And play him in more games.
Look, the bench was the difference last night. And it was pretty cool to see Furkan Korkmaz doing what he did from three. The bench outscored. Now, the Sixers bench outscored New Orleans 45-17 last night. It was really neat. As I was saying to you guys today, what really impressed me and I think is going to be interesting moving forward is Andre Drummond in the backup role that you're talking about, John. When you're playing defense and you know the other team is only going to get one shot because he is going to grab every rebound to be had, and I'm not exaggerating. When you know that as a squad and having talked to people through, that is huge. I've never been impressed with Andre Drummond's defense that I remember throughout the years that I've watched him play. But my God, if this guy's grabbing every rebound when the other team shoots, he had 17 rebounds in 19 minutes last night. That is such a boost defensively. And when you have the likes of Matisse Thybulle out there and other good athletes out there on the defensive side of the ball knowing, all right, I got to play half-court defense for 18 seconds, and this guy's going to grab a rebound, there's going to be no second shots. That's really, really big for this team.
It was awesome to see Joel Embiid, too, early in the game, Jamie, just imposing his will.
Yeah, he's a freak. I mean, I took his over point total last night, but...
You got screwed on that.
Yeah, I got screwed because the team ran away with it.
Yeah, we did. I told Bob this morning I did that, too, and I got screwed.
Yeah, I mean, him in the third quarter, there was, I think, four possessions in a row. They just fed him from the outside, and he can get whatever shot he wants off, and... God, he's got a pure jump shot for a big man. He's a freak. Tyrese Maxey was awesome. Isaiah Joe, I thought, was solid in some spots. And Furkan, I mean, if Furkan becomes a legitimate NBA player like this, holy hell. I mean, they got some shooters on this team if that's the case. It could be a lot of fun.
He was burying them last night. That was a great run last night.
Seeing Joe and pure shooters with four other guys that can legit be a threat to score a basketball, it could make Joel better.
Now, Pat, you were a little distracted. We'll get to the Flyers game coming up, but you had to have that on the monitor and be enjoying some of that.
Last night sucked.
You were good. Wow. You couldn't focus.
No, it was. So some people, I'm not going to name names, hopped on their BetMGM app. And they made a same game parlay.
And they had Joel Embiid dominating because they figured that Joel Embiid would dominate with all the drama going on. He would just slam it down New Orleans' throats. And you know what? In a way, he did. But then they got out to such a lead that they sat him. And it might have cost somebody $10 American.
Somebody.
It might have cost... Joel Embiid sitting in the fourth quarter might have cost somebody $10.
Wow.
And Alexander Hamilton.
Parks had a...
And I'm not happy about
Parks
it.
Parks had a special bet last night to a boost where Sixers win... Embiid scores 30. And in the second quarter, I'm going, cash that baby. That baby's cash.
I should have known something was up too, because his over-under was like 25.
It's weird.
Yeah. So, no, but I mean, in all seriousness, looking at the game itself, it was awesome. And you needed Furkan too, because Danny Green went so cold.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, I mean, we know, if Danny Green's hot, he's hot, and if he's cold, he's very cold. So you needed a Furkan Korkmaz. And if they can play off each other, where if one guy's cold, the other guy's hot, it'll go a long way with this team.
Yeah, I'm glad you got to Danny Green, because, Bob, I don't think you call a guy cold. He scored 0 points in 19 minutes.
Yeah,
he had nothing.
He has a tendency to disappear. The worst stat is he only took one shot in those 19 minutes.
What the hell's going on?
You know, when he's not being found, or he's not finding his spot, or they're not getting out and running enough where he can run to his spot, he does disappear, because Danny Green's not going to get you much in a half-court offense. And low 50s in the first half. It was kind of a struggle. It was two teams figuring themselves out. And that doesn't really bode well for him. And it was funny because Coach comes in here this morning and he made an interesting comment, which a lot of people throughout the Delaware Valley make. Furkan Korkmaz, man, I swear to God, I'm ready to write him off every year. And then he has games like this. Look, I think coaching staffs, not that they're looking to write him off, but have been looking since he got here to get somebody better than him. And maybe part of it is to who they bring in to be better than him, but they're still putting him out. I mean, it's been Brett Brown.
They just re-up him, too, at a good money.
Like, you have to say something for the guy that he keeps getting put out there by head coaches, and he keeps getting his 20 minutes. And some nights, yeah, you might not see it, but there is something to him. And what I like that he's improved is his ball handling going to the basket, because obviously teams are closing out on him all the time. He can put the ball on the floor for two dribbles and finish. He's 6'7". He's a big guy. He can finish around the rim a little bit, which helps his outside game, too.
What I didn't understand is, and I'll never figure it out, is that when a team in football, they'll say if a team can't stop something defensively, you just keep running it until they can show you they stop it. Last night, the Sixers getting into the paint, attacking the basket, going after the rim. And then in the second quarter, they're settling for jumpers. They're just taking, they're not attacking. It's like they turned it off. And I think that could have been a 40-point game last night. I don't know if it was a conservation of energy, a lack of, you know, focus and game plan, or what it was last night.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the second unit just getting their legs under them, kind of sorting that out. Yeah, I don't know. It was weird. Niang played pretty well.
Uh-huh, he did.
I like kind of what he can bring to this team. So it was a great first night. You know, they look like they're promising.
What do you think of Kate? Thought she had a good...
I think they need to be on the road.
Yeah, that's weird. Too. And I got word when this process was all going on, talking to some people that were in it, that they're not going to go on the road until after Thanksgiving at the earliest,
At the earliest.
Yeah, so...
Well, a sale could come down...
Yeah,
before the end of the year. And right now, it appears to be a money-saving... It's ridiculous that Ala and Kate are doing that from a sanitary
studio.
Yeah,
that's tough.
Studio.
That's very tough.
It's brutal for them. Because you're trying to create energy, and you can hear it in their interaction that the two of them are in a room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not feeling... Despite the boom mics and whatever else picks it up, it's inexcusable that they're not on the road.
Yeah. I could notice last night.
Now, if you hear Tom McGinnis today, Pat, say, get excited. When you hear Tom, you're going to be the correct caller to the contest line. Contest line, which is 215-263-0975. And you're going to win.
Get excited.
And you're going to win.
One.
But that's not now. I'm just giving you the thing. You're going to win a 76ers t-shirt. Tickets for Friday night's home opener are still available. You can go to tickets at 76ers.com or call 215-339-7676.
We got action here at the center.
We have Howell Netto t-shirts to give out.
Ooh.
Yeah. Is that what they're retro?
Yeah, or it's throwbacks.
Okay, plus tomorrow, while we are in Vegas, we're going to have a pair of tickets to Friday's home opener versus the Nets to give away each hour.
Oh, nice.
So, Bob, just so we know, so the 3 a.m. hour, which is the 6 a.m. hour, we'll be giving away Sixers tickets. So, Bob, do you want to come up with something each hour to be able to give them away?
Sure.
Okay, so Bob's going to do that on the plane today.
We'll do a fun little trivia question
for you. There you go.
Sure.
So hey, Bob will do that tomorrow. There we go.
Is that all right?
Okay.
All right.
Does that sound good, Coach? For the tickets tomorrow.
No, Coach likes to know everything that we're thinking. So.
Bob, every hour.
Coach?
Yeah, you just made my life a little easier. Thank you.
There you go.
That's what I'm here for.
Hey, B-Hawk is on the line already from Philadelphia. B-Hawk, good morning.
Yo, good morning. We got a little bit of spacing last night, but, you know, Pelicans team without a Zion, and like you said, that could have been blown out of the water. That could have been nothing to see. It's good to see the spacing, but Doc reverting to the Clippers of old ways, you know, just we're kicking out fire and jump shots. I want to see them on the road. I want to see the Nets game. It's only, you know, NBA, we got a long road to go, but far as when we go in the trenches and, it, you know, deep as the season is and other high power teams, you know, I want to see more. And Danny Green, you got to give us something, bro.
He's got to do something, Hawk. He's got to do something. Because if not, he's.
He was
anonymous last night.
Yeah, you can't let him get lost. It's going to happen. It happened last year, even when you had Ben Simmons here and you were running. Look, I know it's one game. You were running, though, a little bit more than they were able to get out last night. That's the key. Danny Green's going to be a spot-up shooter. The thing with Korkmaz, if you notice the threes that he hit last night, there was a couple of standstills. There was one where he faked going, sinking in, and then came off a pick, caught it on the run, caught it and shot. And there was a couple off the dribble. It's a three-pointer in every variety that you can do it. Danny Green doesn't have that really in him anymore. He's a standstill catch guy, a guy that'll run the floor, find a spot, catch, and shoot, and he's great at that. But if that's being taken away one night, you're going to see 19 minutes of one shot. I mean, that's just a fact. So that's where your Korkmazes and your Isaiah Joes and those type of guys, and even Tyrese Maxey, have to pick up the three-point shooting a little bit.
Moneyline wager won last night on the Sixers. And the Flyers puck line, which I was regretting going into the third period. I did it because the value was too high. It was beautiful. And the Flyers win. I use the Park Sportsbook app. They've got great offers for you every day. New customers sign up now. Get your first bet risk-free. Visit parkscasino.com/PA. Promo code Fanatic. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. So we talk about the Flyers. You heard it on WMMR last night. The Flyers changed the narrative versus Boston. They go out and take care of business versus the Bruins. And, Pat, you worked the game. I got to tell you, I was incredibly impressed with the spacing. The Flyers' positioning last year sucked. Their defensive zone breakouts sucked. They look very under control.
Yeah, that's kind of what happens when you bring in vets like Ryan Ellis and even Keith Yandel, like guys known for their puck moving ability on the defensive front. Your breakouts are going to get better. Practice also helps.
That really helps.
Crazy thought there, Allen Iverson. Practice does at times help. I would caution everybody that this isn't the same Boston team you're used to.
Okay, like, tell me more about the big test
Saturday. So, like, Boston has their top line. They have Marchand, they have Bergeron, they have Pastrnak.
They don't have Tuukka Rask.
Then after that, yeah, they don't have Tuukka Rask. They lost him. David Krejci went back to the Czech Republic. Obviously, Zdeno Chara left 2 years ago, so they don't have him. I mean, Charlie McAvoy on the defensive front is good, but they don't have, other than that one line, they have a lot of question marks. This isn't the same old Boston Bruins team that you used to fear. This actually is a ripe for the picking Boston Bruins team that if you shut down their top line, you should be fine. Saturday's game against Florida really will be a true test because that Florida team's legit. Like, they're very, very good.
What I enjoyed was AV last night. Well, first off, 5 out of 6 points in your first 3 home games. You grab 5 out of 6 points. That's productivity because I saw a 4-game homestand to start the year. I wanted 6 points. I figured they'd lose one. You got a chance to be able to get some more. You can get a 7-point homestand, be great. But I love that AV went out last night and was matching first line on first line quite a few times and forced the top line of Boston to work defensively because they don't want to work defensively. That's not where they want to spend their time, even though they're great at it.
Yeah, I mean,
they would rather buzz around and dominate you in the offensive zone.
Yeah, Bergeron obviously is one of the selkie many times.
How about three?
I think he's something like that.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, Couturier broke his streak, but and for all his faults, Marchand's a pretty good defensive player too. But you're right; like they're out there to do one thing, and that's put the puck in the net.
Well,
And, you know, they have a little bit of physicality this year.
They
where
do.
It's not defensemen on the other teams just grabbing pucks and knowing they can skate up and go wherever they want to go. You know, you've seen a little bit of it. Now, look, I'm not saying, oh, you need to be goons. But, no, you need to know as a defenseman carrying the puck out, if you're the other team or something, that there might be a hit coming your way, that you're not just grabbing a puck out of a corner and going the way it was last year. You know, you had some guys that were making sure the Bruins knew they were there last night. And I think that's a big part that was missing of this team last year.
Did you just say we don't want goons?
You know, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, you got to play Flyers hockey.
Well, that's ridiculous.
But the team needs to know where you are.
Oh, yeah. I think last year they gave up way too many liberties. I think a good kicking of the ass.
Oh, yeah.
For any team.
That's why I brought it up to Jason yesterday. I mean, Nate Thompson sticking up for Giroux there in that previous game. That's huge.
That's important.
That is important in hockey, and that's never going to go away from the game. You got to protect your skill players, so it's good to see, because last year that doesn't happen.
You mean Nate Thompson beating the hell out of a guy, according to Steve Coates?
Yeah, that was funny.
How great was the call?
Coatesy just sounds,
I gotta find that
he
call.
Sounds refreshed after all, you know. Coatesy had a rough medical summer.
Oh, did he?
And he sounds fantastic.
Good.
He was cheering on the guys from Penn Medicine last night.
He's the man.
Listening to some of the broadcasts. We want Coatesy in. Egan, we got to have Coatesy in someday.
Come on, Pat.
I want you to broker this. We have Coatesy in. We have a little breakfast, beers with Bob with Coatesy.
Yeah, just tell him I'll bring in a cooler and we'll be good to go.
We'll have a good time there.
That's like getting a fish to follow the bait, you
let's
know?
Hear,
I mean,
let's hear a little bit of this.
Now we got another fight. Nate Thompson's going to drop the gloves. He's challenged by Nate Bastian. These two wanted to go earlier. Now they are going, whether Bastian likes it or not. And Thompson is cleaning up on Nate Bastian. I don't think Bastian's thrown a punch, and Thompson's thrown about 30.
Love it.
Okay, it was supposed to be in there.
Coatesy, yes.
Yeah, but just trust me.
It's okay. We'll trust you.
That man had a family.
We're going to trust you.
He beat the brakes off.
Yeah, he really did.
He really did.
And poor Nate Bastian is just trying to get his team back in the game. That's all he's doing.
That's all he's trying to do. And we are prepared and packed and ready to go to Las Vegas. We will leave later on today, and we will be broadcasting live tomorrow morning. You'll hear us from the beautiful Mandalay Bay Sportsbook Studios in Las Vegas. We will be doing the show tomorrow morning. And there is one silver lining as we pack our bags. By the way, Jamie, you're going to need this for Monday's show. I packed the white flag. So I've got it.
Oh,
because
okay.
One of us may want to, it may be Bob, maybe Pat, maybe I, will wave that flag on Monday's show. So I packed it. So you're going to need to bring one if you're ready to wave the flag. You were on the 1 yard line the other day. So yesterday, the water guy was at the house. The plumber guy's at the house. He says, is Jamie really on the 1 yard line about Jalen Hurts? So I'm going to ask, because I know that right now, Daniel the plumber.
What do you say, Daniel?
He's up early and he listens because he's taking care of his little baby.
There you go.
He does the mornings. Let's mom get a little more sleep.
Yeah, we're in the Terror Dome together.
He's
Daniel.
Like a month and a half ahead of you. He's a month and a half ahead.
But
he's
hopefully he stabilized a little bit.
But he's a
here.
Fan of the bro. Fan of the bro. So he wants an explanation. How could you be on the 1 yard line of Jalen Hurts? And he doesn't believe you are. He thinks that you were being a little emotional the other day. He says he can't be on the 1 yard line.
I think I have my answer. Like, I'm 99%
well,
positive.
Well, speak to Daniel. I know he's listening.
I just am trying to be fair in the time I give him, because it still is only 10 games. And, you know, most draft picks require 2.5 to 3 years to really kind of know. So it is an accelerated timeline. So I'm trying to be patient, but like my gut knows what it knows.
Well, I told Daniel, Bob, that, well, if Jamie really is on the 1 yard line, and this guy loves Jamie. Daniel is a huge Jamie fan. I said, if he's on the 1 yard line, we know Nick Sirianni will have him in shotgun. So he's at least on the 6 or 7. And then he'll probably have his running back on like the 9.
Yeah.
So Jamie's really not on the 1. Sirianni's going to take them back 7-8 yards.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I hear what you're saying, Jamie, and I have my concerns also. I'm not as down to the 1 as you are. But God, I would love if there was somehow you could evaluate Jalen Hurts more in the next few games with somebody else giving him plays to run.
I agree with you.
I really would.
And Harry Shane Steichen?
Yeah, you know, like, listening to, I think it was Timmy Mack was on Mike's show yesterday, Tim McManus, or and them just saying, I don't know what they're running for this kid. Now, it could go to what you say, that they may not be able to run much of anything because he's just not that good. But my God, I would love to see a whole new set of plays tried to be run by Jalen Hurts so I could get a better feel for
him. Pat, I have the white flag.
I don't
blame
you.
Do you think you might? I don't think against the Raiders, I think we're going to come in Monday and be like, no, we need to see more.
I think he'll be all right this weekend.
I think I'm good. For me, the test is going to end up being when they play Washington.
Okay. So you're going to wait.
The Giants.
You think you're going to wait?
I think.
All right.
I say that now.
Daniel, thanks for checking out the plumbing yesterday. Still not fixed, but thank you for checking out the plumbing. Hey, the silver lining, though, in the Eagles season, in the season of evaluation, we are 6 weeks done in the season. Do you know this is the healthiest that the Eagles have been going into week 7 of a season in 11 years?
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah.
This is a healthy team right now, for the most part.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about how bad the injuries are and everything. They're pretty healthy. So, I mean, this is pretty good news. They're healthy. They had really, really damaging injuries.
Yeah, there was
so many years in a row.
There was a run there that was
terrible,
comically bad.
And the good part about them being healthy is you can truly evaluate.
Yes, that's what I'm
saying. You can truly evaluate. You're right, John. I mean, this is exactly what you wanted, and good. It's all out there for you.
Giving guys a chance to show what they can do.
Yeah.
Show what they can do.
And the Tyree Jackson practice window is open, so throw another fish in the pond to evaluate.
Now, Jamie will be back here manning the fort with us because of Baby Paige, the selfish Baby Paige, who has kept her dad from going to Vegas. And I'm sure she's going to hear about that sometime when she's a teenager. And
I'll hold it all over her head,
So, Jamie, just to give you a feel of Vegas, what is the most common number, this is for Jamie, the most common number bet on a roulette wheel?
22.
I can't believe you just said that. Yes.
Really?
22 is the most. Why did you think 22? You really did. You said 22.
Luke Shen's number.
Yeah, come on.
Well, okay.
Come on, man. I was trying to split the wheel.
All time great.
No, but I can't believe.
Stale.
Like, I mean, you really did. That's a really hard thing to nail because it's razor thin. How about number 2 and number 3 are really close?
11.
11. Very good.
And 34.
No, you should have gotten it when you got 11.
Damn, 33.
You should have gotten when you got 11. 22.
Two of the three, though. Look at the big brains on Brad.
You got the first two, though, by percentage bet, wagered 22, 11, and 7.
Yeah, Carson Wentz, Andre Miller. obviously.
Didn't realize that's what it was. So, Jamie, we'll give you a little feel for Vegas that. I have one for you every segment.
All right, cool.
So we got something to just give you that feel that you're coming along, even though you're not. We're going to have a great day with you today. Coming up, there's the Ben Simmons update. What do they do? There's no practice today. So, what do they do about tomorrow night? Bob will give us a little insight next. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. You know, if you own a home, you need to know you got a plumber. You need to know you've got people that are there for you. How about H&H Heating and Air Conditioning? They are the choice of the Kincaids. And I can tell you, they came out to our home before we even bought it to evaluate our HVAC system to make sure we were getting a good one. And we love H&H. DelcoHVAC.com. And they want to know that your furnace is going to be up for the challenge. So this winter, you need to know you're going to stay warm when it gets really cold. For $69 for a limited time, you can get a furnace tune-up right now, and they'll perform a routine carbon monoxide test so you can sleep soundly knowing that your family's protected. H&H at DelcoHVAC.com are fantastic. Now, they are Delco guys. The Hoke brothers, they've been doing this since 1985. But they're more than Delco. They're South Jersey. They're Delaware. They're all the surrounding counties with 24-hour, 7-day-a-week emergency service, a live person always on the other end of the phone, fast, friendly local service, and we trust them. The $69 furnace test, right now, get it checked out. Get it before the winter kicks in. Check it on out. H&H at DelcoHVAC.com. Send my regards, would you?
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Did you know that year after year, the Ford F-150 continues to be tough, like Bob Cooney tough, With its towing and payload capacity, F-150 up for any type of job. Check out the full line of F-Series trucks at your local Ford store today. Remember, you are going to be listening, and when you hear Tom McGinnis say, get excited, you will, and don't play it now, you will win a Sixers t-shirt. Courtesy of the Philadelphia 76ers. And tomorrow, God bless you, it's nothing to sneeze at, Jamie. They're nice t-shirts. And tomorrow, sure, while we're in Vegas, we'll have a pair of Sixers tickets to give away each hour.
For Pete's sakes!
Bob Cooney will have Cooney trivia.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
There you go.
There will be a question every single hour tomorrow, so you can win tickets to tomorrow night's Sixers-Nets game that will be shown at our welcome party.
Blondies.
Tomorrow. We'll be there at Blondies. It's great.
Just to clarify, Bob, the trivia question's going to be about Shaykisms.
You don't need any clarification yet. When you need to know, you'll know.
That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the first trivia question is like,
what's the first Shaykism that pops Shaykism into your head?
Popped into Bob's head.
What is
shake, rattle, and roll?
Shake, rattle, and roll is a good one.
Handshake.
Handshake. I think I denied handshake.
Milkshake.
Shake it off.
How about her
shake it off is good?
Taylor Swift.
Her milkshake. You can't be a milkshake.
Brings all the boys to the yard.
Yes, exactly. And they're like, it's better than yours.
My buddy John Higgins. Great spot on 320 Joe's Pizza. He sends a email and he hasn't been able to call into the show. He says, but I've tried to call in a few times. It hasn't worked out with timing. But the young man, Connor, who answers the phones, is magnificent. What a great guy he is. Smooth as silk on the telephone. And it's so important. It's a great form of customer service.
That's
for your
true.
Show. Connor, if you ever go to Joe's Pizza in Broomall, you are set. John's going to take care of you. Connor is big in Broomall, in my hometown.
Yeah, he says hello better than anybody I've ever met in my life.
No. Connor engages. Connor's an engaging guy. You know that. You're constantly engaging with Connor, throwing things at his head.
Connor's a meathead.
By the way,
he's had one of the dumbest propositions over the last two. Has he proposed this to you? His
what? Getting larger shorts?
Actually, no.
Wearing one size bigger shorts?
This is pretty cool, John. You weren't on this conversation. This is pretty funny. Go ahead, James.
This is so dumb.
What's this?
He said, would you rather have a team of basketball players that are 5 years old with the mindset and knowledge of Michael Jordan?
But 5 year old bodies.
But 5 year old bodies. Or a team of five Michael Jordan bodies with the mind of a 5 year old?
Why would he ever think this?
Because that's what Connor is. And he's been debating it. He's watching,
why would he debate it?
He's watching five-year-old, because he would take the five-year-olds with MJ's mindset.
Really?
Which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Every time the five-year-olds put up a shot,
yeah,
MJ, it's going to be swatted down.
Stupid five-year-old MJ body just has to stand up and hold his hands
up.
He
asked me the same question. I thought about it.
And you were torn because you obviously relate
to
the five-year-old.
No, I mean, I wanted to give it, you know, a good thought. And I went, no, I'd take... the MJ with five-year-old brain. He goes, nope, you're wrong. And I can prove it.
And he can prove it.
He went and watched video of five-year-olds playing basketball.
Yeah, Connor, I'm good, man. I need you to prove it.
I leave my DMs open, and I'll interact with listeners that are kind enough to send notes and everything. And then you get ones that are unkind. You get a guy this morning who is trying to... He's diagnosed Ben Simmons. And he says, he goes, you guys were so kind the other day to Lane Johnson. And you dismiss Ben Simmons and his mental illness being the problem here. And I said, have you diagnosed Ben Simmons? Are you trying to tell me that Ben Simmons, this entire orchestrated effort, is a mental health issue? And he's literally... And then when I come back at him and go, I don't agree with you at all. And I didn't come back at him mean at all. And he just gets nasty.
Did you say thank you for listening?
I think I'm done here. Thank you. Because the minute someone's going to be an ass to me, then I'm like, I'm done. Thank you. I'm not going to get into a pissing contest over he's diagnosed Ben Simmons. So Ben Simmons update, where is it, Bob? What do you believe? There's no practice today.
No.
So
he's
nothing
not
going to
play.
No, look.
He's not going to play.
I say this over and over and over again. If Ben Simmons was of right mind, if Ben Simmons didn't have this... rift going on with the Philadelphia 76ers, and he had not practiced yet this year, he would not be suiting up tomorrow night. He has not practiced. You don't come in after an off season and not practice and be expected to put on a uniform. It just doesn't happen.
Okay, so
and as I said yesterday, talking to some people in the league, and all of them agreed, there's no way the Sixers put him out there, because you put him out there and he goes into warm-ups. without talking to anybody. And he goes in for a layup and grabs his hamstring and says, oh, I'm hurt. I hurt my hamstring. Now you have to pay him. Forget you have no ability to fine him, to suspend him. You lost that ability to do that, to keep the ball in your court.
Okay, what if he shows up tomorrow for shoot-around? Because there'll be a shoot-around tomorrow morning, probably around 10:30, 11 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
There'll be a shoot-around tomorrow. He shows up for shoot-around like a good citizen, wanting to get paid. They can't keep him off the court. They can't keep him from showing up.
They can suspend him again.
If he shows up ready to work, if he shows up ready to go to...
Yeah, do you think that's really going to happen?
I think he's showing up tomorrow.
He put his house up for sale yesterday in New Jersey. The guy couldn't be more checked out.
So you believe he's not even showing up? Because then they have real contract detrimental to the team. He's making their case for him.
Yeah, he's got to show up. Has he done anything smart so far that you would say, like, oh, well, he's...
Yeah, but then he loses all... He has no leverage then. If he doesn't show up for work, then conduct detrimental to the team is absolutely...
Maybe this time they hit him.
There's no argument.
All right, Ben, we need you in at 6 a.m. tomorrow. I'm not coming in at 6 a.m. No, we need you in at 6 a.m. Well, shoot around's not till 10:30, 11 o'clock, but we need you in at 6 a.m. I'm not coming in at 6 a.m. Up! All right.
So you think this is what we're doing. So you think that's what it's going to be?
Look, I don't think the Sixers are dumb in this. Let's put it that way. Okay. I think they have a game plan here. I don't think they're getting caught off guard on much of anything. The other day, you know, how much was that planned out that, you know, Doc asked him to do something. He says no. Doc kicks him out. I don't know. Maybe that was in the plan, but look, you don't become a professional organization and run by these people without knowing a couple steps ahead of what you're doing. They're not going to get caught off guard, I don't think, in many things in this.
Yeah, I mean, there's also the conditioning thing they could go back on. You know, I'm sure it's not written somewhere, but there's an understanding within that you'd have to practice for at least a week or something like that. And if he hasn't practiced at all, they can just fall back on, well, we don't think he's up to game shape yet. I don't know, but he's going to have to show up eventually. Like, both sides are just dug in here, and they're two Rams locking their horns. So he's going to have to show up. Otherwise, this is all for naught so far.
I'm not giving him a free pass on... First of all, I'm not going to say that Ben Simmons is mental illness that is causing all this. Now, that would be really convenient after a orchestrated campaign of trying to destroy people's reputations all over this organization and the city that have all failed. And now there's got to be something. I'm not giving him a free pass. I'm not explaining away his behavior. Because if he can't speak for himself, I'm not going to let someone speak for him. Is that fair?
Bad
or not?
In a way, I understand where you're coming from. But I think that Ben Simmons is the biggest case. The biggest case can be made that he does have mental problems. The problem is the difference between him and Lane Johnson is... Lane, we didn't see coming, and he admitted it. And Ben, we do see coming, but he refuses to admit it.
So you do believe this is a
mental breakdown? If he came out and said, look, I'm in my head. I've dealt with anxiety. I've dealt with depression about this. I'm burnt out. And I don't think the fan base would accept it, but I think that it would be truthful.
I think everybody would say, go get yourself well, wish you the best, and then come back and ready to play, and then maybe we can trade you.
Yeah.
Is that fair? I mean, I don't think anybody would say if he goes and gets treatment, if he goes and gets help, I don't think anybody would be saying, yeah, screw you, dude.
No, I think some of the fan base would think it's a cop out.
I agree with Pat. I think some would. Yeah.
I think some would, yeah.
Look,
that's pretty heartless. By the way, that would be pretty heartless.
It is. You know, Lane Johnson being in the forefront of our mind and all the other things going on that we talked about, it's not that you haven't thought about it. You know, Westbrook and I were texting the other night, and he was asking me about it, and we finished our conversation saying we hope he's all right. You know, you do. Yes. We all hope he's okay. Nobody wants to see Ben Simmons. I hate what he's doing to this team. I hate what he does to teammates and to the coaching staff. I can't stand the actions that he's portrayed so far. If there's something wrong with him, yes, I hope he's okay. But so far, we don't know that there is. And his actions to me, as far as the way you treat teammates, is despicable.
And he's so calculated. Everything has been calculated that he's done. This is a long-term plan, and it keeps, by the way, the plan keeps changing. He keeps having a different tactic. When one tactic fails, he goes to the next plan, and the next plan, and the next plan. That doesn't seem somebody who's lost his mind. That seems like somebody who is, okay, well, if that happens, then the chess move is this. Then it's this. Yeah, and, well, and anyone trying to claim that Clutch isn't orchestrating a lot of it is just flat out lying.
Oh, they're 100% orchestrating all
We've already
of it.
Seen this is their tactic.
Yeah, this is just the first time they've done it with 4 years remaining on a contract. Two's been the standard kind of mark to do this type of thing. Yeah, look, it's would I buy that he had something going on in between the ears? Yeah, absolutely I would. Would the optics of it be poor if they're saving this as a trump card to get out of this situation? Yeah, it'd be really poor, unfortunately. But that's their own doing. You know, if he had been out in forefront of this right after the playoffs or let people be known over the summer at some point he was, you know, worried about this. It's a totally, this isn't the situation at all right now. So I don't want to see him pull it out now.
If anyone would spit on him or not spit on him, literally, but spit on him, mock him, or if he actually went and got help, if he did have a problem,
mm-hmm.
all speculation, if he did, to me, that's ridiculous. Like, I mean, nobody should ever do that. But my point is, you can't speculate that the guy's got mental illness. You can't diagnose somebody based on, I think I feel. That this is, and compare it to Lane Johnson. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you can't it's speculate on someone's health and where their mind is. You don't know until they come out and tell you. And if he does do that, then like I said, and I think we've all had the caveat, if this is something that's there, I hope the guy gets the help he needs.
There's no doubt, by the way, he is mentally soft, right?
Yeah, but a lot of people are mentally soft that are mentally ill. You don't believe that?
No, I'm not going to argue that. No.
No, I mean I think there are people who are mentally.
Well, that's why I think it would make sense.
If you ask me to, what did Bob was saying about getting a screwdriver and fixing something,
like a mic.
Okay, I'm mentally soft. If you say to me, John, I want you to take a screwdriver. Here's the directions to put something together.
I see those nice manicured hands.
I'd be like. I'm mentally soft because I give up on it before I give up on it before I even start. In my head, I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I put something together, and it was very simple to put together. Like, Bob would laugh.
It was Legos.
It was this bench, but I had to attach. Legos. I had to attach the lid to the bench, then I had to attach the legs, and I had to follow the directions. And it was like, I did not like doing it.
Yeah, I hate doing
but,
it.
But, you know, so I mean, I'm mentally soft when it comes to that. Very much so. Don in Philadelphia joins us. Don, good morning, brother. How are you?
I'm all right, yourself?
Hey, doing well, man. We're going to Vegas today. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's great. It'll be right down the street from my hometown.
That's good, man.
So I just wanted to give this a different perspective. Remember the conversations you guys were having when Lane Johnson came out and admitted, you know, his depression and his anxiety?
Sure.
And then the therapist called, and then the guy called and was talking about how he was, you know, like one of the things that he was doing was self-destructive. Mm-hmm. I'm not diagnosing Ben, but if you look at Ben and you look at one of the most common behaviors of a person that's dealing with depression, they're very self-destructive. And if you look at the stuff that he's been doing, because I don't think Clutch has been putting all this BS out.
Oh, see, Don, that's out. Where you can't. They've done that. We have we can already document that they've used these tactics in the past. Jamie's pointed that out since the beginning. So we already know these are their tactics. This is their game plan. So I can't give Clutch a pass.
No, I'm not saying they don't have anything to do with it. But like from a professional position for an agent, the stuff that's been put out from Ben or from Clutch. Really doesn't make sense for them to do for their client if they're trying to get him treated. Because the stuff that's been put out only takes away from his trade value even more than him not showing up in game seven.
Good job. Yeah. Good job, buddy.
You got to wonder what the... Look, we've said this all along. Like, what is anybody thinking that is putting this stuff out there, throwing the blame everywhere? It was a bad strategy. And it will come back to bite them in the ass. He wants to go out west is apparently, you know, obvious. But where out west and to whom? And look, the Ben Simmons camp, and including Ben Simmons, they've done nothing to help him get where he wants to go this offseason. That's for sure.
Let's get to Cooney's Corner where he says, who you got your eyeballs on?
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
You know, you go into this Sixers season and it is weird because of everything that we just talked about and the obvious story that is going on behind the scenes with this team. But then you put the team out on the court and that's where your concentration has to go because that's what all anybody cares about is wins and losses. So you put the team out on the court. You got Tyrese Maxey, who had a nice game last night. Obviously, you expect Joel Embiid to kind of dominate, and what he did defensively last night, you know, held Valanciunas to 3 of 19 shooting.
The
he and Drummond. Yeah. So his Lithuanian brethren just didn't have it going on last night. But after you get past Joel Embiid, who does your main focus go to on this team? Who is it that you have to... Now, I'm talking... Because it can be anyone. It can be anyone on this team that you say, look, this guy's got to get it going. And if he does, I think this team can overcome whatever, you know, Ben Simmons' situation becomes.
It's simple, but it's got to be Tyrese to me.
Okay.
It has to be Tyrese. And I think that a lot of times he's... Though there's so much promise with him.
Yeah.
There is also... A reckless, sometimes as he's going to the basket, like just sort of out of control, that I'm sure will come with time.
Yeah.
It's got to come with time. So, to me, my eyeballs are always on him because I'm not only rooting for him to succeed, but I know that if he doesn't succeed, we're going to have a crappy basketball season to talk about.
Yeah, and he's going to have to carry some heavy minutes early on. What about you, James?
I'm looking at, like, kind of a collective group. I'm going to steal a lot of guys here, but I'm looking at just the shooters right now. Furkan, Isaiah, Tobias, Danny, and Seth. I'm looking at those five guys because if you have three of those five on any given night, they're going to be a tough team to beat. I mean, they are. I'm not saying it's championship or bust, but
please,
that's a lot of shooters. And now you have a point guard that could potentially score as well. I like the dynamic.
What does that sound? Is that a dolphin? That sounded like dolphin, Jamie.
I feel like a dolphin is dying.
Jesus, it was. I mean, somebody's killing a dolphin.
Yeah. Dolphin in labor.
So I'm just looking at the shooters.
Yeah. That's a good one, too. Like
that's
I said,
one.
It can be anybody. Pat, you got anybody?
Yeah. 27 minutes. I think he had 2 points last night. Matisse Thybulle. At this point, look,
I need more.
It's year three, man. I need some offensive game. The defense is great.
Four steals last night.
Yeah, look, but it's gotten to the point where I've grown accustomed to that. I know you can do that. I need you to give me something offensively, especially if you're going to play 27 minutes.
That's good. That's a good one. Look, yeah. See what I agree with all of your answers.
But is there another answer you have?
Well, he's all drummed up.
To me, it comes to Doc.
Go to the coach.
Doc got questioned last year. Doc's strategy got really questioned last year. Doc came under some fire. Now, he's come under fire from previous players that he had talking about. But I think last year was kind of a little bit of a shock in talking to some people in that, wow, I'm really getting questioned here. 1 year, I get a number one seed, go into the playoffs, lose. But I really think Doc went into this offseason, just speculation and having talked to some people, thinking, wow, I have to do a better job. So... With this dynamic of losing what you had in a rare 6'11 point guard that gives you everything that Ben Simmons gave you, that's taken away. Boom, gone. You have to design different things to get things going. Maxey is, and you said it, John, Tyrese Maxey is a totally different player than anything you had in Ben Simmons. You have to scheme for that. Like I said yesterday, I want to see some more pick and rolls with Joel Embiid. The big man game, I want to see some more of that. Jamie mentioned the shooters. It all ties in to how Doc is diagramming it and what schematically he comes up with to see how good this team's going to be.
Doc's got some pressure on his shoulders.
Well, he was awful. Which is good. Yeah, in that Atlanta series. So, I mean, that's the taste that was left in your mouth, and it's compounded with the fact of so many years of failure ahead of it.
I still think, though, we can still be excited, right?
Yeah.
Get excited! third caller. At the contest line, 215-339-70. Oh, wait a minute. That's the Sixers number. 215-263-0975. 215-263-0975. You'll win yourself a 76ers t-shirt. By the way, if you want tickets for tomorrow night's game, go to tickets@76ers.com or you can call them at 215-339-7676. Jamie heard something on the Simmons front that we'll talk about coming up. That seems a little ridiculous because it's a flat-out lie. Plus, I'm going to take you down the memory lane of Philadelphia coaches. And I want you to be honest with me and do an evaluation. Because we've seen nothing like this. And I mean nothing. Thanks for hanging out with us today. It is getaway day for us. Tomorrow we will be broadcasting live from the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, and we look forward to having you join us for that as the Eagles and the Raiders weekend gets underway. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. With pro and college football in full swing, the NBA season tipped off, your Fly Boys playing great, it is time for you to grab the Park Sportsbook app. Now, they just have all kinds of great little bonuses. Last night, there was a little tempting offer. If you went out and you said, Sixers are going to win and Joel Embiid's going to get 30 points, you could have put $10 down. You could have won yourself an extra 30. Well, guess what happened? They benched Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter because they were up so much. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You can get a risk-free bet up to $500 with the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. They're burying you right now. I'm burying the lead here. There's fun games to be played, but with $500 free, risk-free bet, refunded in site credit if you lose, this is the time for you to join up. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use my promo code Kincaid to be able to take advantage of a great value. I can tell you, for football, amazing, amazing deals. You've got the baseball postseason going on and more. Now, you got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. So every single wager I want to place before I get on that plane today must be done at the gate. Remember, John. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Seven o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download it at parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code Fanatic. Same game parlays out there for you in football this weekend and everything. Check out the Parks Sportsbook app. It's going to be awesome. So remember, Bob, Pat, anything? Pat, do you have anything on? Is there any fights this weekend you're going to be watching?
Yeah, there's actually, the fights are in Vegas.
Are you going to go?
Thinking about it. I think we need to discuss that during a break.
You might have to go over for that. I don't think I'm going to go with you because I'm looking at windows for me to be able to play cards, and I think that's going to...
It was more of there's something else going on, and I need to know if it's a conflict of interest.
What do you mean? You want to go?
The furries conference?
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring it up again. Yeah. There's a furry convention, and I'm a part of the furry community.
Well, the fight's like 8 o'clock.
I myself am a badger.
Oh, there's the badger.
Yeah, that fits.
I'm a badger in the furry community, and I'm very popular.
Are.
Yeah.
Jamie?
My costume. Jamie is a seal.
Yeah.
Because he's hairless?
I prefer manatee.
Feed
me some celery and carrots. Yeah.
But also, Jamie does a really good seal impression.
By the way, I want to know if that was a dolphin. It was like Jamie Dolphin earlier. I mean, like a strange.
I swam with the dolphins in Mexico. That was awesome.
Swam with the dolphins?
Yeah, of course you did.
How nice.
Another country you've been to.
Yeah.
Another country.
I saw a dead fish in the Schuylkill one time.
and you don't want to swim in the
Schuylkill. Dead body in the Schuylkill.
Right next to the dead body.
I see dead people.
You want to swim in the Schuylkill, Bob? Do the Schuylkill swim?
No, I don't. I'm good.
Maybe a fundraiser next year, the Schuylkill swim with Bob Cooney?
No.
Bob's like Kramer in the Hudson.
Exactly.
He goes out there every day to get his back right.
Oh, maybe. Oh, geez. Hey, I'm seriously not trying to be alarmist here. I'm just trying to have a discussion with you. Take this walk down memory lane with us, and you can chime in on the phone lines if you wish afterwards, and we're going to hear from the guys. Consider the most successful head coaches we've had in this town. Now, they don't have to be league champions. So we're not just talking about Doug Peterson and Charlie Manuel. We're talking about guys who had successful runs, playoff victories, playoff success. What coach began their tenure that had that kind of success very poorly and then turned it around? Where the team looked unprepared, sloppy, strategy was widely being ripped, and they ended up being very good. I went back and read about Andy Reid's 0-4 start. Because it was shaky. no one was questioning Andy Reid being unprepared to be a head coach. There was, and the team was losing games they could win. They were playing really, and then losing games they can win. So I honestly, Andy Reid was the one I thought I was going to try to go to, and I read it, and I couldn't find it. I want to believe Nick Sirianni's just having a rocky start. But this little exercise in my brain scared me. So I can't think of one. Can you? Bob, Jamie, Pat, Connor, Mike, and the coach Eric Camille on the John Kincaid Show. Can you think of one, Bob?
Well, it didn't evolve into a championship, although they did get to a championship. Larry Brown had to teach a bunch of guys how to play with Allen Iverson. Maybe the toughest task a coach has been asked to do here in all of Philadelphia in any sport. Because at the time, you just didn't know how. They tried a Jerry Stackhouse. They tried a Larry Hughes. They tried to get guys to put around Allen Iverson to make this a winning team. And then Larry Brown came in, and as I told you, they called him the maestro. He just came in, and he knew how to orchestrate wins and how to build a team around Allen Iverson and get so successful that they got to the NBA Finals in 2001. So that was a guy that I think came in and really cleaned up.
But he was not being questioned. Larry Brown, nobody was questioning Larry Brown's acumen as a head coach, were they?
Oh, God, no.
But that's what I mean.
No,
that's
okay, I thought you were talking about cleaning up.
No, the coach has to be questioned.
It's Charlie Manuel. I mean, when he got here, people were like, oh, he's an AL manager. He can't handle a double switch. He had to take a group of young up-and-coming guys and... You know, I think he was a huge part of them gelling together as a team.
Yeah, but I didn't hear Charlie Manuel getting...
People at my old station had pools of when he was going to get fired.
That he was doing a poor job?
Oh, yeah.
This guy can't do the double switch. Yeah. Well,
that was a viable...
But it was. Hey, we didn't.
It's
think
not
this
rocket
guy,
science to yeah, figure out.
We didn't think this guy was very good, and he wasn't the right hire. So let's crap all over him. And then they kept missing the playoffs too, and they would miss it by like one game,
two games, you know, one game.
Shout out to Craig.
That's a lot better than we're seeing with the.
You're right, but the Eagles for a team that hadn't been to the playoffs since 1993 to tell a fan base in 2005, 2006. Oh, hey, it'll be fine. You know, like they weren't hearing that, especially after they traded Bobby Abreu for crap. They got nothing back in that deal. So they were selling, and
people wanted him fired.
Every fan base.
Because of the way he presented, too. Like,
yeah.
Not to compare him to Sirianni, but, you know, Charlie, he's Uncle
country
Charlie
boy.
Now. Yeah,
he's country boy.
And he kind of, you know, mumbles a little bit under his breath. So, you know, I think people looked at him and were like, oh, this guy's not it. And then
I gotta look because I went back and I just
we have a mutual friend who had a when will he get fired pool.
Yeah, Manuel.
Charlie Manuel won 88 games his first year.
Yeah, they won 86 the year before also. It was a good team.
88, 85, 89.
It was good, but they hadn't gone over the hump.
No, I get you, but it wasn't Sirianni. They didn't look like a team that was buffoonish, cartoonish. This team, this coach, when you hear Speak for Yourself today, and we have no idea what Bob's going to, how he's going to present it. But I hear this coaching staff speak, and I'm petrified that they do not have an adult in the room. I mean, it's
fair.
That's really, to me, so, so disturbing. the way this whole thing is going down, Bob. I don't have much faith.
Yeah, they've seemed to gotten stuck on key words, key phrases. I will get in.
Them.
Yeah, they keep repeating them. It's almost like they have a guidebook of how they're going to handle themselves. Look, this city's too smart. You can't say you're doing something and then when it doesn't happen, get anybody here to believe you're actually doing it. This fan base is the smartest in the country, and I've been all over the country and seen all the fan bases. This is by far the smartest in the country. You're not going to get away with anything here. So, you know, you're better off telling the truth from the get-go than coming up with catchphrases.
Than trying to come back.
Yeah.
Trying to come back at it.
Yeah.
Charlie Manuel was...
That's the only one
three games under. He was 3 games under 500 at one point in his tenure. He was 4 games under. That was that's like...
There's not a lot to come to mind, though.
I mean,
just
it really isn't. And then he had him 500 by Memorial Day weekend. And then in his first year, and then
it was more with people just didn't think he was it.
Right, but it's not what this guy. It's not what's going on with this guy and this staff right now.
Well,
that's what scares me.
I don't know what this guy is yet. It's presented weird.
What do you believe from what you've seen? If you only have...
I believe he's extremely hampered by his quarterback. And he's trying desperately to figure out the best way to use him. And we can disagree with that way right now. But it's only been 6 games. And I think he's trying to cater to him. And we might think it's the wrong way. They're going with it. I'd like to see some more running game involved, both from Jalen, design runs from Jalen and Miles Sanders and Gainwell. But I think he's hampered. So I'm trying not to judge him too harshly yet.
How does a good coach handle something? He puts a player in the best position to succeed, and nobody believes he's putting this guy in the best. No one who knows anything about football that covers it, that analyzes it, thinks he's being put in a good position to succeed. And isn't that Sirianni's job? Isn't that job one?
Yeah, yes, it is. To Jamie's point, you wonder, can they not find one? Can they not find a strength? You know, John, I give you a point guard who can't go to his left hand very well. He's not a good shooter. And the one thing he does is he can come off a pick and once in a while maybe hit a pull-up 15-footer. So that's what you run all the time. And he's not even great at that. Could it be, to Jamie's point, could that be what he's looking at? I've tried. I've tried to throw the ball down the middle. I've tried to throw it deep. The only thing he does halfway decent is RPOs. I don't know if it's to that point. I would lean more towards, I think that the coach needs to have a larger array of plays.
Absolutely. That's my biggest problem with Sirianni, is it seems like they are the same 4 to 5 plays, and he just rotates them, and a lot of them are screen passes.
Well, it's the most basic. Dan Orlovsky did a great thing on ESPN about it. It's a high school offense.
It is the girl and with Uggs who goes to Starbucks.
And by the way,
gets a pumpkin latte.
The offense at Alabama was more complex, significantly more complex. Now he had a great team in front of him that was better than every team he matched up against.
So this kind of makes my case.
But like, the offense was much more complex.
I hear you, but I don't.
So run that offense.
I don't think they feel as though he can throw from the pocket. Whether he can't or his willingness to, that's why you see screen games, because it's stuff out to the sides in the flat. He's leaving a lot of plays on the field when he hangs in the pocket. He looks to run early. And if I'm Nick and I'm just trying to rationalize where he's coming from on this, all right, the guy can't throw from the pocket. Let me get an RPO offense where I can get him moving and he can throw on the run and hopefully make the right decision.
But here's the thing. In an evaluation year, Bob, I need Nick Sirianni to show me the empirical evidence that he's putting him in a position to try to do that. And he's also giving him, the average NFL team is going to give a running back around 20. They're going to give around 20 running back carries. Hand off every game, get those carries in for them. Not touches, carries.
Yeah.
I want to see him give the guy a chance in an NFL offense, not some high school Harry offense. And that's what this is. I think when he talked about his brother and was so excited about his brother, the high school coach, it's because of this. He took his playbook.
I think saying high school is a little too much credit. It looks like a Pop Warner. It looks like during the Temple halftime, they'll usually have, you know, the 8-year-olds out there just slinging the rock, and it's about the same kind of play design.
It is the most they were there. I tell you, Dan Orlovsky when he gets on that board is fantastic.
Yeah, he's really good.
And as he's showing you, and he's going, they didn't react the minute Tampa saw what they were doing. They never reacted.
Yeah.
They never switched. They never tried anything else. They never did. And that's an indictment on Nick Sirianni.
Sure it is.
And it was easy to prepare for. And the Bucks coaching staff said it. And the Bucks players said it.
Yeah.
They knew exactly what to expect.
Like I told you a couple weeks ago when we were talking about it, and I called an offensive coordinator and I said, you know, break it down for me. And he said, look, at the pro level, yeah, can it work for a game or two? Maybe. If you have the right quarterback and he's making all the perfect reads. But it's a high school. It is. Who said it? Jamie or Pat? It is a high school offense. And the fact that they're running it and they're not changing anything out of
Even
it.
Even during a game, they don't change.
So yeah. Here's a quote from Sirianni yesterday that I thought was pretty telling. I actually saw Jeff Mosher tweet this out. So here's the quote from Sirianni. It comes down to play calling, of putting Jalen in position he feels comfortable with the play to read it out versus different looks. We're seeing some unscouted looks because we're slightly different other teams with the way Jalen plays. Those last four words jump out in neon with bells and whistles to me. With the way Jalen plays. He's telling you this guy can't play like other quarterbacks in the NFL.
Do you believe Andy Reid would have a better plan if he had Jalen Hurts? That would make him look better.
I mean, probably. He's a top five greatest coach ever.
No. Do you believe Sean McVay would have a better offense?
Yeah, he made Jared Goff look.
Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan would run the ball.
Nick Sirianni can't compete with offensive minds, and he's supposed to be an offensive guru, Pat.
I don't think you can say that yet without another quarterback.
Well, no, I'm watching him and going, if they had Jalen Hurts, Kyle Shanahan.
He would run the ball.
McVay, all those guys, they would have a better plan.
But if he can't throw from the pocket, they're in trouble too.
Jamie is right in a sense, because you got to remember this isn't Nick Sirianni's handpicked quarterback.
Absolutely.
And that scares me because early on it looks like Nick Sirianni isn't the guy. So to allow him to pick a handpicked quarterback when he might not be here in a year is terrifying. But you're mentioning some of the best coaches in the league.
Well, I'm mentioning him because he's supposed to be an offensive coach. You hired an offensive coach.
Like, would he be better with Matt Rhule?
Forget the names.
Yes, he'd be better with Matt Rhule. Right, I really do believe that because I think Matt would run the football.
Okay.
Yeah, forget the names. Anybody may be better because they would try something different.
Absolutely.
So you can throw all the names you want. Anybody that would come in and try something different would be, I'm not saying an improvement from Sirianni, but it would give us a better look of what Jalen Hurts actually is. And it could be exactly what Jamie's saying, or it could be, oh, wow, he can do some different things that Sirianni was never trying with him.
An evaluation year is not throwing someone to the wolves at the NFL level. That is stupid. It's a mindset that makes no sense. And by the way, there's a reason that through six games, no one in the NFL has ever attempted this.
We're calling, Dan Orlovsky called it a basic high school.
It's very basic. No, he didn't say high school. I said high school.
Well, the same thing.
But it's a basic offense that doesn't adjust.
If he can't master the basics.
No, but they're not giving him all the other tools. Dan's point wasn't to throw him under the bus. It was he needs to run a more traditional offense where he's running the football too.
Sure. And look, I agree with the running, but if he can't master the basics of this passing game.
But you can't with a defense that doesn't have to respect the run. They're loading
up.
Okay,
so that should be an easy fix.
But he won't fix it.
Through six games.
He keeps saying he's going to fix it every week and he never does.
I can't imagine
this. I'm not going to, so quit asking.
I can't imagine there's 17 games of this.
I just don't
see throwing the kid into advanced trig when he can't master algebra yet.
Well, that's what they're doing, though.
Failing algebra.
They've literally thrown him to the wolves.
Algebra.
They have thrown him to the wolves. I liked algebra.
I failed it.
I didn't
it
like trig or anything geometry, anything angles. Hated it.
Multiplication. Yeah.
Hated
I dominated.
It. That was easy.
Do you guys remember though? And I think it was Schefter who we had on shortly after Sirianni was hired. We were asking him about Sirianni because let's be real, nobody knew who he was. We all had to go to Google and search his name. And I believe Schefter, and I'm paraphrasing, was basically like, yeah, he's good, but he's no world beater. You know, he's nothing to write home about. He's good, but I'm not getting the sense that he would be like the guy. And that's always kind of stuck with me, that the NFL was, yeah, he's decent, but he's not really the guy.
And that's I don't think anybody you can grow into it. Nobody thought Dak Prescott was going to be the guy. Nobody was calling that coming out of college.
Round.
And Dak Prescott showed you that he's learned that. Could Kellen Moore get more out of him?
They should have hired him last year.
Kellen Moore could get more out of him.
Well, the Cowboys are going to hire Kellen Moore.
Could Bruce Arians get more out of him?
Well, who did you guys want?
Like I'm saying, the people are saying, I'm looking at some of our YouTube chat here, and they're going, well, you just named like the greatest offensive minds in the game. I could just go down other. Would Kevin Stefanski get more out of him? I'm naming off guys who understand offense.
I don't know that answer.
Rich Kotite.
I guarantee you they'd get more than this because they wouldn't be doing this.
They'd run the ball more.
They would do that.
But what answers does that give you about Jalen?
It tells me that this guy doesn't understand that he doesn't. You got to give the guy. You have to put him in an offense that at least makes the defense respect the run. And he won't do it. He ignores it. He's doing something, Jamie, that's never been done.
I don't think it's going to last. I don't think it's going to last for 17 games.
How about this week?
I think.
This is a bad team against
It'll
the run.
It'll be more than the last 2 weeks.
Well, no. It's a bad team against the run.
Wow. Gutsy Lynch over here.
There he is, Gutsy. Hey,
you mean Kenneth Gainwell's going to run more than one time?
Okay. Hot take, Jamie's at it. Hey, our friends from Business Roundtable will say to you that more expensive gas and groceries, with Congress pushing tax hikes on business, with government spending that'll make inflation worse. Congress, protect hardworking Americans. Business Roundtable sends you that message. So, last night, the 76ers tip off their season. And it was interesting. It was exciting. And, Bob, I got to think that a very promising debut, even though the Pelicans look awful.
Yeah, they're bad. They're just a bad team.
Zion, too.
Yeah, so. The first half, it was kind of a heavyweight match where you're kind of feeling each other out. And ugly first half, nothing really going on. And then, you know, third and fourth quarter, Sixers get some shooting going, and their second unit was just really, really good last night. But we all know the situation. We know where it is. I don't think Ben Simmons is ever going to suit up for this team again. So that being said, and you get a little glimpse, a very, very slight glimpse, and we already knew what the Eastern Conference kind of looks like. How far away are the Sixers from competing for the Eastern Conference as currently constructed? Because you're going to get something for Simmons eventually, probably, I guess. It's not going to be what you wanted from the beginning.
Eventually, probably, maybe, I guess, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to look at this team and then say, okay, what's needed? Maybe it's a perimeter defender is your number one need. Maybe if it's a backup three that you have to shore up better, whatever. You're going to have to try to use Ben Simmons to get that at some point. But is it off or not? Or is it, okay, if you can get a plug-and-play guy that can help you out, how far away are they from challenging for the Eastern Conference with the likes of Milwaukee, Brooklyn?
I think second-tier contender.
Can they get tier?
No, they would need...
Yes.
I don't believe they can.
If Tyrese becomes legit.
I think 2023, 2024, sure.
I mean, anytime you have one of the...
It's got to be a growth to me.
Anytime you have one of the best players in the league, you're going to have a puncher's chance.
I'm not saying puncher's chance. I don't believe. Well, I think they're second tier.
Well, a second tier
has a puncher's chance.
I think there's one tier, and it's Milwaukee, and then everybody's below that.
I don't believe the Nets are right there with them.
They have defensive problems, and you got to be good at both to win a title.
So are the Nets second tier?
I mean, they're above the Sixers in the second tier, but yeah.
So the Sixers are third tier.
To me,
so
I have
1A.
Sixers are third tier.
They're tier A.
I would have them in there with the Nets.
Yeah, I put them with the Nets.
I think Milwaukee's in a class of its own.
Oh, really? You do have it there?
Kind of.
So you have tier one, tier two, tier three.
Giannis got better.
So knowing what we know, that you're not going to get dollar for dollar for Ben Simmons, and you're probably just going to have to get something to help this roster, can it be done? Can it be done to put them on that upper tier, James? Like on that tier one that John's talking about?
Look, I mean, your best case scenario this late into it is probably somebody like a CJ McCollum. That's probably a best case
great scenario.
I think it's a best case scenario. I could see it happening.
I could see that happening. Portland lost last night to Sacramento.
Yee! Yeah, that's nice. No, but that's good because the Sacramento game.
Yeah, that should be a winnable game for them.
Correct.
They were home.
Yeah.
If you get somebody like a CJ or a DeJounte Murray, somebody of that ilk, then I think it's possible, yeah.
All right.
It's not your traditional number two Robin. It's not going to be a Harden to do.
No, it's
Durant,
not.
But if you have a bunch of those.
Well, Milwaukee's shown you that it doesn't have to necessarily be Batman and Robin.
Exactly. And
it could be the Wonder Twins.
Sure.
You could have the Wonder Twins unite.
Yeah, like I said, you get 20 games in. And what's the most somebody can be suspended for? 20 games? Anyway.
There you go.
If you get like 20 games in, that's
November 27th.
That's a good sample size of looking and saying, okay, here are the pieces that we need for this current team as constructed, and maybe you can get that.
Do you know the Wonder Twins, Pat?
Yeah, activate.
Form of?
I don't know.
They could be form of anything.
I don't get
the principle. You're older than Pat. You don't get the Wonder Twins.
What is it?
They were the two Wonder Twins, and they would touch their hands, and they go, Wonder Twin powers activate.
Are these chicks or dudes?
It was a brother and a sister.
Oh.
Well, they were non-binary.
Chicks or dudes.
It's unbelievable.
One took the form of...
Form of a donkey.
And the other one had to do something waterish.
No.
Yeah.
They would do something with each other, wouldn't they?
But one had to be a form of water.
Really?
Yep. One could do like a donkey, but the other one would be like ice or it would be a tidal wave, or yeah, it would be
a lawsuit. Know that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Brother, sister, doing
see,
stuff
look at
together.
This. That is good stuff.
Going lost or two, man.
Jamie says there was a false narrative yesterday from Shams, and we like Shams, but there was a false narrative. Plus, should this player be cut? We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show, and you're here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Yes, we are. And you know what else we have? We got FanDuel Sportsbook. Everybody loves FanDuel Sportsbook because Week 7 is here. And there's a big Sunday matchup between Houston and Arizona. FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge, is about to make it even bigger. They're giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. Real simple, it means you can win $150 on just a $5 bet. It's a huge line here in Arizona. Arizona, last I checked, favored by 17. But you can't go against Kyler Murray. This is going to be an absolute blowout. Look at individuals. Now, remember, if it is a blowout, Kyler Murray's stats probably won't climb real high. You might want to look at his over-under passing yardage. Maybe go with the under because his time might not be there. Might not be throwing the ball a whole lot. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting on FanDuel, the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's sports betting made simple. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up using promo code Bob. This week, before Houston takes on Arizona, you could win $150 on just a $5 bet. Remember, promo code Bob so they know I sent you. Exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic, and it's getaway day. For us, we will be in Las Vegas.
Some of us.
Well, it's getaway day for you. You'll be getting away to the diaper store.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be getting away to the diaper genie.
Yeah, like, who told you to have sex?
I don't know. They're irresponsible of me.
A little self-control. I'm sure Addie second-guessed it.
A little self-control would have helped you in this situation.
She just can't keep her hands off me. What can I say? I can't blame her, you know?
She likes the otters, right? Is that what you said?
Seal. Yeah. Yeah.
The same family of manatees, animal, right?
Pickup line is, do you want to be kissed by a rose?
By the way, Bob's... my nephew, Billy, very impressed with Bob's Wonder Twins powers knowledge.
Yeah, you know.
The Bob's knowledge of the Wonder Twins.
This is animated?
It was on Between Games when I was like 8.
It was the League of...
Yeah.
Extraordinary Gentlemen. It was not on Between Games, Bob. It was
my
not.
Games. I had an 8 o'clock game that I played, and then I didn't play again until 11.
Jamie, it's like
at 9:30.
It was...
It's nice. Like tentacle porn.
Nice.
It was the League of Justice or something. The Justice
League. Justice League.
League. Yeah, but they didn't call it that, I didn't think, on the
show. I thought the Justice League was the Batman and Superman's crew.
No, it is. And they had like a giant, like, they had a building where they all, like, hung out.
Yeah, it's Wambala.
And the same people always had to be rescued.
Yeah.
Like, why did Batman need Robin?
Because somebody had to run around and push the button when he was fighting all the bad guys. Yeah.
But he always well, that's a whole other issue.
You need a secretary.
It's a whole other issue.
When you're famous and you're rich, you need a personal assistant.
Be sure to be listening. When you hear Tom McGinnis get excited, you're going to have your chance to win a Sixers t-shirt today, courtesy of the Sixers. And tomorrow, every single hour of the show, we'll have a pair of tickets to give away to tomorrow's home opener versus the Nets. You're just going to have to be able to answer a Bob Cooney trivia question. Coming up tomorrow. So Bob will have them ready for you at 3 in the morning, our time. 6 in the morning, Philadelphia time. So he'll have them ready for you. Hey, the law firm for injured workers is Martin Law. Visit paworkinjury.com. Jamie, you thought there was a false messaging from Shams yesterday.
Yeah. Shams went on the Pat McAfee show and it started spreading around the Twitter timeline. Ben Simmons is willing to do anything to get out of Philadelphia.
Really?
And my first thought was, yeah, we're aware. Then my second thought was, wait, he's not willing to do anything. Because if he just showed up and played the good role, it would allow the Sixers to perhaps work on something. And you could increase your... Nobody wants you at this current state you're in. You're
being malcontent.
You're being a malcontent little baby and trying to, you know, become such a cancer from within that they you force their hand. So no, you're not doing everything possible to get out of here. You're doing what you think is the right way to get possible, but it's not everything. You could just come in and shoot the ball. Then half the league would have interest in
that.
You
can't do that. I was surprised. Mopar was arguing with some of the gang. I went back and was looking at some of our YouTube chat this morning. We love you guys. Thank you for tuning in. Mopar says he disagrees completely. He says he thinks he's mentally strong because this is all calculated. And he says that he's very strong because he's sticking to his plan and sticking to his routine. I can understand a little bit where Mopar's coming from. That
I mean, it does take some balls to walk in.
He has resolve, but he has no self-awareness. So, I don't believe that this is mentally strong. His performance in Game 7 showed me all I need to know. Well, in Game 5, in Game 6, and Game 4, too.
I compare it to, since we always kind of mentioned Seinfeld on the show, when George just... kept taking Susan's parents, kept going down the rabbit hole of like the cabin.
Yes.
Like, he's so dug in at this point, he can't go back on it. I don't think that's mentally strong. I think you're just dug into your ways so badly that you know you're going to look an idiot, which actually proves you're kind of mentally weak because you won't admit defeat.
What was the cabin one? I remember.
He just kept lying about this cabin and they knew the whole time that he was making it up. So.
And then all he right. eventually got on the road.
And
with
they
them.
Got on the road.
the house in the Hamptons. The house in the Hamptons.
And what was it? How did it resolve at the end?
He kept driving, and they finally admitted,
oh, okay.
George, we knew the whole time you were making this up.
Because then there was the cabin that burned down with the
John Cheever's, yeah.
The Cheever's letters. I think it's so funny because Connor is exploring...
He's on season three.
Seinfeld season three.
Yeah.
And he's just getting it, and he's
just
starting
scratching
to get
the surface.
It. And he seems to be enjoying it, though.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
But look, it does take a lot to walk into a building where you know you're hated by everyone. So
from Connor,
I do it every day.
To Mopar,
not that bad.
You do.
To Mopar's point, like it does take some balls to do what he's doing right now.
I think Mopar, I understand what he's getting at, but I don't think it makes you mentally strong.
Well,
I think he's mentally weak because if you can't do the basics. Because you're afraid of failure. The minute you're afraid of failure, you're mentally weak.
But if he's okay with being hated by everyone,
well, then everybody in society is, in your terms, mentally weak. Everybody's afraid of failure.
No, I said to you is that I know yesterday when I took out the directions, I unpacked the box and said, you know what? Christina said the box came, and she said, just wait. I'll put it together when I come down. And I said, no, I'm going to show her that I can put this thing together.
What was it?
It made me, it's a stand where you can like a bench you can store stuff in.
Oh, okay.
It's got the lid.
Yeah.
And then it's got legs and you had to put like eight things together.
Did you do it?
I did it.
There you go.
But I was.
Felt good, didn't it?
Yeah, but I was anxious.
Yeah, of course.
Like, just following the directions, I was anxious.
How'd the 17,000 people watching you do it react?
They didn't at all. Mm. See, there it is.
Mm. They booed
them. It's the negativity.
Yeah, imagine doing that in front of the whole world.
It's that negativity in your head. Oh, no. No, I mean, it's... Because
he's been getting mocked for months.
Yes.
Like the ESPY Awards.
Yeah, but then
know.
He comes back.
It's bigger than
Philly.
Yeah,
but then he comes back and puts out these videos to say, screw you, look, I can do it. I mean, so I don't get that. Like, I don't get the...
He's just trying to slide in girls' DMs. I think that's the only reason he posts.
Think that's all it is?
Yeah. I think he just uses Instagram to get ass.
See, that's all it is?
Are you talking about Connor or are you talking about Ben?
I think it applies to both.
You think it's very similar?
No, I don't think necessarily it's that. I mean, I don't think it hurts him.
What are you afraid of?
You don't get mamma jammo by not sliding into
some
DMs.
You have to be mentally soft about something. I admit, when I try to take on something that I'm not, like... Anything building tools, follow directions. It's that direction packet that, by the way, I had to do eight things to put this thing together. The direction packet was 10 pages of pictures.
Different languages.
Right, it was just bizarre. So, but Bob, what's something that you're mentally intimidated by? There has to be something.
Well, Coach comes to mind. He intimidates me. I don't look. I
you know, I'm really cautious of labeling mentality. Like, will I say Ben Simmons has a hurdle that he needs to climb that he won't shoot in a game? Yeah. He's got a, there's a hurdle there that he won't overcome. We've talked about that for years. I don't know what it is. Everybody has them. Yes. And the strong person is the one who faces it and tries to overcome it. And
you should see that bench. I put my shoes on it this morning.
And some can't. And some that deal with this type of stuff, and it grows into what, you know, we talked about the other day. You know, that's a real problem, and it's a shame, and it's hard, and you hope people can get through it. So labeling mentality, I'm cautious of. But what am I guess it sounds like taking a side is something that I'm mentally not strong doing, but I don't know. I think I'm good at diagnosing what I'm not good at and trying to avoid it as much as possible.
To try to avoid it. Like yesterday, I was going to put
that thing. And that's probably not a good thing.
I was going to put that thing together because Christina said,
don't.
Just leave it. I'll put it together.
She didn't have confidence in you hitting that free throw.
Correct, because she knows that I hate that stuff.
See, I love challenges like that.
See, you love that challenge. I hate that challenge.
You thought about passing it up to your neighbor because he was on the porch doing nothing?
Yeah, I met Mark. Mark's my neighbor on the one side.
Say,
real good dude. And I could have said, hey, Mark, here's a big box. Can you put this together? But I didn't. I did it myself.
I don't know where you
now,
are.
If I had to do like 20 things on it,
yeah,
I would have passed out.
I would have a tough time doing what he's doing right now.
Right.
Like walking into a building where I'm hated and despised. Like if I was to walk in here knowing that every one of you,
and we love
was
you,
disappointed and upset with me, and I really let all you guys down.
It's only Coach.
No, and it wasn't just you four.
It's Paige we're
yeah,
upset with.
Yeah.
It's not you.
But it went past you guys, and some of the salespeople were let down by me.
Yeah, Jonesy's
pissed. And the digital department was upset because I didn't. Like,
keep going.
That would kill me. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not right, just his teammates. It's his coaches. It's his front office. It's the foundation of the organization. Everybody in that building feels a way about him right now. That would kill me to walk in there knowing that.
That's why, Pat, that's why I'm cooking now, too. I'm just...
You're a crappy cook.
No, I've never really even attempted. Like, I'm bad at it.
Yeah, top
but I'm learning.
Stuff.
So I'm learning and doing these things because if you're going to think, Ben Simmons, come on, face your challenges, I got to face mine.
There you go.
And Bob taught me the thing. Now that Bob taught me the thing about putting the tray in while I'm preheating the oven, it has changed when I pick up my fish dinner, it has changed my life. The pre-prepared fish.
You should be making your own marinades and everything.
Yeah. I can do that.
Yeah?
I can do that kind of stuff.
All right.
But I can't do...
Got to get you an Instant Pot and an air fryer. Really,
I'm getting
dumb
an
it
air
down.
Fryer. There I am going to do that when I get back. How about time for Bob Cooney to speak for himself?
There comes a time
when Bob needs to just speak for himself.
And now it's time for Bob Cooney to speak for yourself. Here's Bob.
Our perfect show
just ended.
There we go.
Another installment of Speak for Yourself. Well, there's been a lot of speaking going on since that Tampa loss last Thursday, in a game that seemed close but really wasn't, and we've been nitpicking at everything. And Nick Sirianni yesterday was asked about Jalen Hurts and what he's been going through, the ups, which includes in three games, 7 touchdowns to 1 interception and 77% completion percentage, to other games where he has no touchdowns, 50% completion percentage, and 1 interception.
I feel like when it's not going well is when he's quick to escape. And that's something that, again, we've talked about here, that's something you're always going to have to... You don't want to take his superpower away of escaping and making plays on the run. But we just do want to make sure that we lessen the gap of off-scheduled plays and drop-back plays. So that's really what I felt. When I feel like he's playing well, he's throwing on rhythm and then secondary going and getting out of the pocket. When we feel like we want the play back or something, we feel like he might have left a little bit early and got into something he was comfortable with the escape and his escapability.
So basically what he's saying is that his eyes aren't staying downfield, it seems like to me. And that when pressure comes, he's looking to put his head down and go. Is that a play design thing? Could be. He says, take away his superpower. Let's not kid each other. Jalen Hurts hasn't showed a superpower yet.
I never saw him on the Wonder Twins.
No, he's not taking shape or forms. So I don't necessarily agree with a superpower. I do agree with one thing. You don't want to take away something that he does well. And Jalen Hurts does escape well, and he can use his legs well. So I have no problem with that. I totally agree with Nick Sirianni on that.
Yeah, he's starting to... peel back the layer a little bit in some subtle shots. Like that
I think
one,
so. He I just, think he's looking for a scapegoat.
Maybe. The one that Bob just played and the one I read earlier, that's two kind of subtle shots at his
little
quarterback.
Shots. I like it. Bob's very, you're very clinical. Mm. You could have been like a, you could have been a psychiatrist.
Could have been a sports writer. So we're gonna move over to Jonathan Gannon and the defensive side of the ball. And he was talking about Ryan Kerrigan. Now, I know some people have heard this, but I just had to break this one down on what he had to say about the production of Ryan Kerrigan.
On the stat sheet, you mean? Because in my opinion, he has been productive. How would I quantify that is he lines up, he gets a line the correct way, he plays with his eyes the right way, he asked to do the techniques that we're asking him to do, and he's playing winning football within his role. And what I mean by that is, like, somebody that makes a tackle on a run, well, Ryan helped that guy make that tackle by how he crushed the block. So what? That's why I don't know. Always look at with Fletch moving back a couple weeks, like he's balling.
What?
Really?
He's like, winning football, guys.
He really got through that without laughing. And look, I'm not putting down Ryan Kerrigan. God, he was a great football player in his time, and he tortured the Eagles. And it was somebody whose eyes, even though you were an Eagles fan or follower, you kept your eyes on Ryan Kerrigan all the time when they played Washington. But I'm sorry, stop. I'm getting tired of this. Oh, well, they're doing stuff that is helping other players. Who's it ultimately helping? Is it Alex Singleton? Because he's the guy with 15 tackles 7 yards down the field every game. So I guess everybody on the front line is just helping that Alex Singleton can get 15 tackles a game 7, 8, 9, 10 yards down the field.
Well, he's carried 3 of those yards.
Exactly, yeah. So I Jonathan Gannon, like,
come on.
You know, I don't want to take an ESPN thing,
and
but
you
come
guys
on, man.
Sold me so hard on Jonathan Gannon, and I tried to warn you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that was...
As the restraining order.
If there's tape, we're in trouble.
Yeah, you're not going to come out and say, yeah, he's not getting it done. I understand that. But, again, with these guys with the, they're helping each other with the things that you don't see, and, you know, the dog mentality and all that. Guys, come on, I don't care about press conferences, but you got to start just trying to believe the truth.
Prepare. And,
yeah, exactly.
Mentality. But yes. Bob, his eyes are facing the right way.
Dude, did that sound like you're talking about a Pop Warner kid?
Yes.
Oh, man. Yes. Look at how he lined up. He lined up. We told Timmy to line up here, and Timmy did. Timmy.
He is a spectacular player of a long career. Don't be bragging on stuff that he learned when he was in Pop Warner.
Go get an orange slice, Timmy. You lined up great, buddy.
The first thing that I thought of, I was coaching baseball, little kids. I don't know if it was one of my kids or nephews or whatever. We had a third baseman that I had to stop telling him to stop looking at the airplanes when they go overhead. Because he would look at him and he'd keep following him.
That's why Pat turned to hockey.
And he'd fall down. And it was like, Jimmy, stop looking at the airplane. Well, this is like, it's Ryan freaking Kerrigan. And you're saying he's doing great because he has his head in the right side. What, was he turning around looking behind him before?
Bob, he's playing winning football. Can you get off his back?
Bob knows more than Jonathan Gannon.
Seriously,
yeah,
seriously.
So let's go back to the offensive side of the ball. And we'll go to Shane Steichen. And he was asked how important he thought it was. About the physicality of the offense.
I think you definitely have to be. Football is a physical football game. I mean, you got to be physical. You got to be able to run it, and especially when it gets cold here and it's starting to change. You got to be able to run the football well in those situations. So I think you definitely have to be physical.
All right, he said it twice in that short little answer. You got to run. You got to run the football.
No, we're not doing it.
You
got to
run it well.
Do it. Yeah.
So is he begging for it to be done? And Nick Sirianni saying no?
Yes. That's exactly what I think it is.
Well, that's what I'm looking at because all I've heard from Nick Sirianni is he's got 3, 4, 5 people in his head and they all look to get to the same place. Well, really? It sounds like a dictatorship to me if Shane Steichen's bringing up run in a one-word in a one-sentence answer. So Steichen was also asked about the mini bye week and what's his biggest takeaway from what the offense has done so far.
I think the biggest thing I just hit on earlier is just efficiency on first and second down. We had some really good conversations as an offensive staff on Friday. And, you know, obviously we self-scout ourselves every week.
But we
had some extra time this weekend to look through some certain things on what we can get better at. I think we're going to be all right. I really do. I think we have the right coaching staff. Coach does a heck of a job. He's a great leader. And we got the right players to get this thing turned.
Yeah, they're really concerned on first and second down. Well, those are the downs you can control.
Yes.
Like, it comes full circle. As a coaching staff, I can call any plays that I want on first and second down pretty much because you know where you are. Third down, long, short,
whatever it may be, you're not so sure. That's a call you have to make on the run. These are calls that you have set in your head and you're failing on, and you're admittedly failing on.
Amen.
So then he doubles down by saying, but I trust this coaching staff. We know what we're doing.
We self-scout, by the way.
You know, the self-scouting stuff. Please stop. Please. All right, the last thing we'll get from Shane Steichen was third down play, Quez Watkins, a guy that hasn't been getting the ball an awful lot, and some others that haven't been getting involved all that much.
Yeah, I think a lot. I mean, like I said, we want to get everyone involved. I mean, Quez got big playability. Obviously, Devontae's a big-time player. Dallas is a big-time player. Miles is a big-time player. So as much as we can get everyone involved, we want to do that.
Then do it!
Exactly!
Do it!
And he says this
do
every week.
It!
And he doesn't do it.
Are you getting a sheet of paper from the principal before the game that says, no. Miles Sanders this week, no, he's a playmaker, but no, you are not to use him. Dallas Goedert, no. Just sit back on that, and we don't know if Goddard's going to go this week because he's still out with the COVID stuff. But, okay, you admitted you have these playmakers. Quez Watkins makes plays when you put the ball in his hands. Put the damn ball in his hands! I don't understand. His word salad.
He doesn't listen to himself.
Yeah, are they thinking out what they're saying? And look, I'm not going to go out and say that everything they say is, you know, a lie or but there has to be some little thing of I'm asked a question, the truth has to maybe accidentally come out.
No.
And to say that, yeah, we got to get these guys the ball. Who's stopping you from doing it?
Nobody.
Get excited.
Oh, wait a minute.
Get excited.
215-263-0975. That's a very big excited there. Third caller.
How could I not be after that segment?
Third caller, 215-263-0975, wins the 76ers t-shirt. And tomorrow during the show, you'll have your opportunity to win tickets to the home opener tomorrow night every hour here on the show. Which is great. Want to tell you, too, remember Temple University is conducting an inpatient MRI and investigational medication study. You got to be an adult 18 to 65 who uses cocaine and is willing to quit. And you might consider this research study. Please make the call today. Do it for yourself. Do it for your family. 215-707-7915. 215-707-7915. We have Andrew listening to the show on the app this morning.
What do you say, Tunis?
No, not that Andrew. No.
What's up, Andrew?
Andrew's already arrived for the Eagles and the Raiders. He's out walking right now at 10 of 5 in the morning on the strip.
Good man.
He's taking a 10 of 5 in the morning. He says the time change has screwed him up and he was wide awake. Yeah. He gets up early every day with us. He listens to the first 2 hours of the show. He said, boys, Vegas is waiting for you. So, Jamie, one last one before I get you out of here.
Yeah, sure.
What is the tip for a free drink? That is expected. A free drink. When you get a free drink, you're gambling, and they come by. Mike did not know this, by the way. Heavy Chevy did not know that you can drink for free when you gamble. What is the expected tip?
$2.
Pat?
$1?
$1. It's $1. $1 per drink is the expected gratuity to your cocktail.
Okay, here's my question.
Yes.
What if it's like a Coke?
It's $1.
It's expected. What if it's a water?
It's $1. They brought it to you.
Well, they can expect it. I don't know if they're going to get it.
Oh, jeez.
Like, I expected a competent football coach. I didn't get one.
Yeah, I didn't get one either.
Life is about these situations.
We got word on
funny.
We got word on Kendrick Perkins. We have a Nick Sirianni. Will he finally listen to himself? Bob just put it out there. Is he finally going to listen to himself? Because it's blatantly obvious this week. Again, John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. You know, Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa wants you to relax, wants you to chill out. And after the game on Sunday, you can go to 975thefanatic.com, go to the show page, get involved in the Hand and Stone Massage giveaway where we give away a massage or a facial. Just $69.95 right now, by the way. Go to handandstone.com to book your massage or your facial. And did you realize they've got 57 spas in the Philadelphia area, the Lehigh Valley, Delaware, South Jersey, and more. So many different ways for you to just chill out. How about a Swedish massage? How about the hot stone massage? And they feature a great, great variety of causes all over. Anything that's bothering you, they're going to be able to figure out causally what it is, and they're going to make you feel better. Oh, man, do they loosen you right up. And they've got gift cards available at handandstone.com. Go to handandstone.com and buy gift cards that you're going to be able to give out at the holidays. These are great ideas. Think about it. They even have an express Men's Beard Facial. You want to get in? Do it today. Go to handandstone.com. Tell them Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
8 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Sixers win, Flyers win. Eagles heading out to Vegas. We're going to get there first, though. We will be there first. We'll be there today. Getaway day today for us. Taking off at 1 o'clock. Looking forward to that this afternoon. Getting on the road. Can't wait. Bob, do you like, I mean, you spent so much time on planes.
I have. That is correct.
So you must know every cheat sheet of the airport.
I think I flew on average like 100 times a year in my prime. Yeah.
Did you get to keep all your miles or did Daily News get them?
Oh, no, I got them.
So you got them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to keep your miles.
Yeah.
Do you know any good cheat sheets of the airport? Because I've been using the airport quite often myself, but you have like a doctorate in the Philadelphia airport. Is there any little hint you can give to travelers? When they hit the Philly airport?
Hint to try. Just know what you're doing. Read the signs. It's so much easier when you know what you're. Take the time to. I tell my daughter this and people, you know, my family that travel. Take your time. Read the signs. See what you're supposed to do. Don't get up there and be one of those people like, oh, do I have to do this or do I need that? Because nothing bothers people more than watching people trying to travel. And I understand not everybody travels a lot, but trying to travel and just not doing the simplest of things.
By the way, our friends from Philly Sports Trips, they're awesome, and we will take off today. And I know Vince is going to be smart about this, Jamie. We're leaving at 1. Someone's running late. We're leaving.
Vince runs a tight ship.
Find your own way there. We're not waiting for you. So if you're not there, we're not waiting for you. We're out the door. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is no Nerlens Noel plane where they'll hold it up and wait for you.
By the way, I have to get to Brendan. He held on for us here before I move on. Brendan, you're on the Fanatic. Good morning this morning. How are you?
Good morning, John, boys. How are we doing?
Doing well, buddy.
Jamie, how's Addie doing? Give her my love.
She's doing great, man.
So I wanted to bring this up because, yes, Ben Simmons, if I was his teammate, I would rip him up against the locker and say, stop being a selfish scumbag. You're here for the team. It's not about you. But another part of this I've been thinking about a lot is when the media talks to Doc, they didn't bring up that, you know, before the playoffs, they were like, well, what about Ben shooting? What about Ben scoring? And they go, and he went, well, you're the only one that's bringing it up. He does so many other things for us well. So
he did that on Mike Missinelli's show.
Yeah, and Ben's mind, he's saying, I'm doing great. My game's fine. What are they coming after me for? And then after game seven, they go, can Ben be a point guard? He goes, well, I don't know.
On a championship club.
Yeah. Why didn't you say all those, like, why didn't you say, yes, he does so many great things for us. He does so many other things for us well. It's not, but yes, it's Ben Simmons' fault, but it's also the Sixers' fault, too. And I think that needs to be brought up more.
That's a good point, man.
And Doc needs to be called on the carpet, and Daryl Morey needs to be called on the carpet, because to get a trade, he needs to match what you're bringing.
Well, Daryl Morey can't. We got to run, Brendan. Too long. But Brendan, the Daryl Morey, I don't know how you're blaming Daryl Morey.
Yeah, I don't.
What the hell are you blaming Daryl Morey for?
Look, if you're going to blame Doc Rivers for anything, and Brendan made up a good point, like you said that you didn't need him to shoot, so then why did you expect him to shoot come playoff time? Maybe if that was the thinking, I understand that. But, you know, if Ben Simmons got upset that Doc Rivers afterwards said, and Doc has tried to quantify what he said, but if he said, I don't know if he's a winning point guard on a championship team, that comes after 82 games of Doc Rivers saying nothing but great things about Ben Simmons. So
if there's fault, yeah, maybe the fault is that Doc Rivers didn't have him ready to have more of an outside game come playoff time, or have him ready to shoot foul shots, or have a plan when a close game was happening and other teams were fouling Ben Simmons. But I don't think the fault is that he said, "I don't know," to a question about Ben Simmons.
By the way, there's context to those. Him and Joe's answers came after word may have gotten out that Ben Simmons tried to sit out of a Game 7 by faking COVID.
Well, Ben had already spoken and said, "What do you want? It is what
he
it
spoke
is."
Before Joel
all
and
that.
Doc.
So, I mean, and they were probably pissed at what he said.
But like, imagine that if you had the guy's point, back Jamie. All year long, and in the most important game of the year, he tried to pull himself out of the game by faking a COVID exposure. And this is on the heels of
allegedly,
according to Ramona Shelbourne, who I trust. Yeah. And then in Game 6, he fouled to remove himself out of the game. When have you ever seen Ben Simmons pick up 5 fouls in the span of 18 minutes? He was doing that on purpose. So if you're Doc and Joe and you've had your neck on the line defending this dude, and then he pulls that crap in the two most important games of the year, that could break some trust.
We believe Woj, right? Yeah. We all think Woj and Shams like are the two you believe in.
Yeah.
Again, from yesterday.
Pompeii.
Yesterday afternoon on ESPN, Woj. He knows of no legitimate trade discussions where the Sixers were given value for Ben Simmons. He said a lot. He said he's heard a lot of teams inquired, but he had no legitimate trade conversations of value that could have been spoken of. If Woj says that, that means every time I hear someone go, "Well, we should have made a deal.
Where do you think that information's coming from that Woj is running with there?
The different teams he speaks to. He's not doing Clutch Sports.
No, he's probably doing he probably talks to Daryl.
Yeah, but he's talking to other teams too.
Well,
he's the most connected guy, right?
What's value? It's what somebody's willing to pay you.
Yeah, that's the key word in that.
He didn't get a good deal. He didn't get any deal that
was considered
legitimate.
Because there's probably not a good deal in his mind that's equal to what Ben Simmons can be. He might be overvaluing him.
See, now I think that Woj would have said, what I'm hearing is, Daryl Morey's shooting for the moon and nobody's willing to give him it. That's not what he said. He said he does not know of one legitimate trade discussion.
From the Sixers' perspective, it's not legitimate.
No, he didn't say it from the Sixers' perspective.
Well, I mean, that's how I interpret that.
Well, a legitimate trade discussion, yeah, that's also up for interpretation too, right? Like, I know a guy in the league who loves a certain player, okay? A GM in a league who loves a certain player that's on another team. And like many of us, there's players whose game you just like. And he'll once a week call and say something like, "Yeah, I like that Billy player. When are you going to part with him?" Is that legit trade talk?
No.
You know what
that's
I mean?
It's just kicking tires.
And there's always that. There's always kicking tires. There's always stuff going on behind the scenes. How you label it, I'll trust the way Woj labels it.
That there's no legit, like he's hearing this is just, they should have moved him because that is what Richard Jefferson continues to push, this idiotic narrative of, he said he wanted out and they didn't move him. What are you supposed to do? And Woj's literally said over and over again, there is no deal. There was no deal to be had that Daryl Morey would have been like, "Yeah, I'll take that deal." No.
Because everybody's lowballing him.
Right. So there's no deal to be had. Well, so Richard Jefferson sounds stupid.
Yeah, but it's not going to get better.
We don't know that. You don't know that.
Okay.
I mean, you have to hope for injury.
You got to hope for something to happen.
Yeah, like bad starts. You don't. Like Daryl Morey's doing what he has to do business-wise right now. He didn't take 10 cents on the dollar earlier. It could get worse, but it could get better. He's got to do his business move what he sees fit.
Yeah, well, if I'm in a...
Wait a minute. Get excited.
Nothing says excitement like this topic.
215-263-0975. Win a Sixers t-shirt right now. 215-263-0975. First caller. We'll make it easy on Connor. And if you want tickets for tomorrow night's home opener, we'll give away a pair of tickets every hour tomorrow during our show from Vegas. Or go to tickets at 76ers.com or call 215-339-7676. So the Eagles are facing a team who is currently 10th against the pass in the NFL and 25th against the run. They are awful against the run. They cannot defend the run. If there is any more excuse making for Nick Sirianni and his pass happy play calling, if he goes up against the Raiders and refuses to run the ball, you are just going to, again, be doubling down on stupid. It's clear. How do you win? You run on the Raiders. How do you move the ball? You run on the Raiders. One of the seven worst teams in the NFL against first down runs. First down. Run the damn football. If this team that does so much self-scouting, if they did the scouting of themselves, they would realize we're not running the ball. But if they do some scouting of the Raiders, they would know, wow, this is one of the bottom 25% teams in the NFL at defending the run on first down. We got to run the ball. They can't stop anybody. We'll see if Nick Sirianni again thinks he's the smartest guy in the room on Monday morning. Well, we'll know by Sunday afternoon, Vegas time, but
yeah,
they do not defend the run.
Well, you know, look, you went up against how many other Kansas teams City. This year that weren't right. very good against the run, and you didn't exploit it.
Because you were smarter than them.
And, yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know there is some kind of a blockage that is hitting Nick Sirianni on running the football with this team. And, part of me thinks it might be him not being capable of being patient.
You mean the complexity, too? You talked about that.
Yeah, well, yeah, talking to an offensive coordinator, it's harder to diagram run plays than it is pass plays. And so if that's what it is, then you're not getting enough practice time, and it's easier to run RPOs because it's, as we've all labeled and was labeled to me, kind of a high school offense. If that's the case, that they're harder to diagram and teach, and you're not comfortable doing it, my God, the problem grows tenfold with the head coach now, right? But yeah, you have to have the game. Forget what does he call it?
Self-scouting. That's what they say every week.
Other damn team and realize that this team that you're going up against can't stop the run. Run the football. And the way I want you to run the football, I'll say it again. Under center, Miles Sanders comes like a head of steam at the quarterback, hand the ball off, and run hard that way. Forget the RPOs where your baby's stepping and trying to get your steps before the line comes at you.
Does anybody actually think we're going to see it, though?
No.
I do.
Do you?
I'm dumb. But I'm dumb. I mean,
I think there's a chance.
There's no way if they spent... What I'll know is that they're begging... Even the defensive coordinator is begging them to run the ball. Because that's what good teams do. They take the pressure off the defense a little bit by running the football and running some clock.
You actually think we're going to see it?
Yes. I think so.
Well, that's what led to Billy Mumphrey's downfall. Billy was a cockeyed optimist.
It very well might be. No, I do believe that on Sunday we are going to see a running attack.
Yeah, from Josh Jacobs.
Remember the mocking of Nick Sirianni at the end of the last game? I bet you that's stuck in my head all week. That's an impact.
Did it stick in his?
You're getting mocked by your own fan base is mocking you because they know you just are. You're not paying attention. You don't pay attention. You don't know what you're doing. You're not attacking a team where they're most vulnerable. And then when you do it, you have great success with it. And the crowd mocks you saying, where has this been? You don't do it when you're down late in a game. You do it in the beginning of a game and help your defense. You know, keep the other team off the field for a little while. Something just doesn't seem to be happening. Graf in media joins us. Graf, what's going on, brother?
Hey, John. This is the first time I've called in. I just want to say I'm a giant fan of the show. I think the generational dynamic of your show is phenomenal.
Thank you, buddy.
You and Bob, Jamie and Pat, it's like millennial versus boomer Gen X. It's phenomenal.
I love it.
So I wanted to just play in. You guys were talking about Ben and Woj. The Woj situation to me, I read it the way John does. That's telling me that Woj probably evaluated any trade offer that he saw and said to himself, yeah, none of these are of value. So that's why he made that comment. And then lastly, the running thing, Bob, he's not being asked to reinvent the wheel. Just go back in time. Look at anything Doug Peterson ran as a running play. It wasn't a lot. And just run the football. Say,
just
hey,
run
Ray,
it. Just run
hey,
it.
Jason, do you guys know how to run this play? Why don't we just add this to our repertoire?
It's something. We're not. Graf, though, it is what Bob was talking about. It is something that is more complex to do, much harder to scheme, coach up a team to run the football. And maybe he's a little over his head. He's never had to do it before. Never been the guy.
But Stoutland should be a maestro with this. He's the vet in the room, right?
Sure.
I mean, the offensive line's the one that's going to scheme the majority of the running play. So shouldn't you lean on Stoutland here?
You can lean on him, or you can think you're the smartest guy in the room, because I think he's ignoring all commonality of what the common thought is to have success.
I don't view it as arrogance. I view it as scrambling for answers. And I know that might not make sense. I just don't view him as an arrogant person.
Answer might be right there in front of you. Denver averaged 4.9 yards a carry against the Raiders last week. And the week before that, Chicago, 34 carries for 140 yards.
It's unbelievable.
Run the ball.
Run the damn ball. You just, don't be stupid.
Roll that blunt.
For God's sakes. Mm-hmm. All right, it's time for it. We call it Bob, Betting, and Barkowitz. Or Bob Barkowitz and Betting, whatever it is.
One of those. Eddie B, what's happening, buddy?
What's up, boys?
How you doing, man? We're ready to go to Vegas. What about you?
I'm ready to start road grading some defensive linemen and start running the ball. You guys got me all fired up here.
You sound fired up. There I it love is. It. So, Eddie, going out to Los Angeles, you're going to be, or Las Vegas, rather, you're going to be with us. What are you seeing as far as line goes on this Eagles-Raiders game?
Well, right now, I mean, it's an exciting game around here and probably in Southern Nevada, but mostly around the country, it's not being talked about too much here on Thursday. The line opened at 2.5. It's up to 3. The Raiders laying 3. It hasn't really moved. You know, money will come in later in the week. But at this point, it's just sort of a routine game for everybody. But the maniacs that are going to be on our airplane and all the other airplanes heading out of Philly International in the next couple of days.
Is there any maniacal things that are going on with lines that you've seen throughout the country heading into this weekend that have kind of raised your eyebrows at all?
Well, I mean, the obvious one is tonight. With the Browns and all the injuries that they have going on, they opened at 6 against Denver, and that line is now down to 2. And, you know, anybody, you know, we all know this, that when the NFL line gets below 3, that's telling you that there is a lot of interest in the other side because, you know, it's all about 3s and 7 in the NFL, 3s and 7s in the NFL. And for that line to get down to 2, is significant. You know, Cleveland could be without a half a dozen of their offensive starters, in addition to the quarterback Mayfield. But their offensive tackles might be in jeopardy of playing. Their starters might be in jeopardy of playing. So if you're looking at getting on something tonight, you know, Denver might be the role. Given that you know, Case Keenum, who hasn't done much since, you know, since leading the Vikings to the NFC Championship game when they got throttled by the Eagles. Is going to be starting for Denver.
I wonder if I'm the dope because it's made me want to go with Cleveland.
No, that's fair.
Because like I always, you know, what's that? Fade the public, right?
Fade the public, yeah. And you're getting under a field goal. You're also laying with Case Keenum, but you know, it's you're under the 3, so that's not an unwise play.
All right, so Eddie, we got a lot of people listening in now that are going to be joining us today and maybe tomorrow getting out to Las Vegas. You are a big, big Vegas guy, have been for all the years that I've known you. Hints, talking points, whatever it may be for people that may be joining us, maybe for the first time out in Vegas.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and John, you can speak to this as well. You know, mobile sports betting is really prevalent here in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Not so much in Nevada. They're a little resistant to it because they don't want to make their casinos obsolete. So if you're going out on this trip, do not think that at 12 o'clock you're going to start, or, you know, 12 o'clock Vegas time, or even, you know, 8 o'clock Vegas time, an hour or two before the games on Sunday, that you're going to walk up to the sports book and get down.
Going to be a line.
Yeah, I would expect lines. Like I said, mobile betting is not as prevalent, so it's not going to be as easy to just sign up at your favorite FanDuel DraftKings. That doesn't happen there. So if you're looking at something, get down early. That would be my number one hint. Number two, hydrate. Not with adult beverages, hydrate. Drink some waters, drink some Gatorade, Pedialyte, whatever you got to do.
There's a Walgreens right in our lobby, and the first thing I will do is go to the Walgreens and get a case of water.
Yeah, that's a veteran move.
Because it's going to be $5 a bottle when you try to buy it one at a time.
That's a veteran move. And what happens is you come in maybe a little later than you should. Mm-hmm. You wake up in the morning, everything's closed, but you have water in your room.
You have your water. Eat it.
You got to do it. And lastly, make sure you catch the fountains at the Bellagio. We've all seen Ocean's 11, you know, with the boys standing out there. That's really sharp. They sell beer on the street.
It's awesome.
A couple bucks. I don't think they're allowed to, but they do. You know, one of those things. But make sure you catch that. And that's right across from Planet Hollywood.
And we're going to catch you, right? We're going to see you out there, right?
Well, yeah. I got my crew coming out. A buddy of mine who just retired, Michael Duffy, South Philly guy, just retired from the Army, where he is at the end of the month.
There's a Michael Duffy from every neighborhood. Every guy listening right now said they know Duff.
Yeah.
Duff. It might not be the same one. Yeah. Yeah.
They're all around.
We can't wait to see you.
Yeah, I'm bringing him out with his wife, my sister, a couple other people. So we're going to have a good time.
We'll see you out there.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Eddie.
All right, boys. Safe flight.
All right, I'll see you.
There's Eddie Barkowitz. I love that.
Yeah, he's you know,
passionate.
Him in Las Vegas, now he's going out, Mike Kern has gone out with him a few times, Eddie plans one or two trips a year, and family members go with him and all of that stuff. It's as much fun as it is for him, it's also a business trip. He's one of those guys, it's a business. He doesn't lay out the envelopes like some people.
He doesn't do my envelope.
No, I don't know of anyone that I ever knew that would do that, but he knows his Vegas, that's for sure.
Hey, Safe Auto offers Pennsylvania State minimum car insurance for less than 70 cents a day. Visit SafeAuto.com or call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Play it safe with our friends from Safe Auto. It's game time. It's a Thursday. So you want to get in, want to get lined up for game time. Fabulous prizes and everything.
It's game day!
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. You can take care of business. There is a big game plan. We do not know what it is, but it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to win you fabulous prizes, so we like that. Plus, check out our friends at WagerPro.com. One-stop shop to beat the book. Get scores, odds, and free winning picks. Visit WagerPro.com now, and you may want to do that before our flight today. Looking forward to getting out on the road this afternoon. We're around 4.5 hours from our flight as we head out. And if you're going to Vegas, remember we will be live at the Mandalay Bay doing our show Friday morning and Monday morning, 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. Vegas time. So if you show up, you can win fabulous prizes. We have prizes for you if you show up.
We might be documenting our trip on our Instagram story.
That sounds good.
The John Kincaid Show Instagram.
There you
want to see all the.
So that's how I follow along.
Yeah, just
that's
just
how Jamie the feels Kincaid like a part of
FaceTime you, Jamie.
Oh, there thanks, we go. Bob. Yeah. It's the John Kincaid Show. It's game time. 610-632-0975 here on the Fanatic. Now, my friends at Window Nation have got you hooked up. Window Nation knows that the windows in your home stink right now, so they want to give you a deal. You think money's a little tight. You're not ready to replace all the windows in your home, but you are. You didn't even realize it. You can get two windows free for every two that you buy. Plus, with no money down, no payments, and no interest for 2 years, you don't have to come off your wallet at all. Window Nation windows are going to make your home feel better. They're going to keep the heat in all winter. They're going to keep the cool air in next summer. So you're going to get 2 years of energy savings in your home, a more comfortable lifestyle inside. They've installed over 1 million windows with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, so you know that you can trust them. But this deal's great. You got 20 windows in your home. You're paying for 10. Plus, no money down, no interest, and no payments for 24 months. They're not coming knocking until October of 2023 to get you to pay for it. Here's what I want you to do today. Do your window shopping online at windownation.com. Then call them at 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION. Do it today. Our friends from Window Nation.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's game time, folks. You can get in on the lines at 610-632-0975. And an hour from now, we are supposed to be joined by Shaquille O'Neal. So just as long as Shaq is out of his business meeting, he will join us coming up in around an hour.
What's he cooking up, a new Shaq-a-roni?
Well, I can tell you that he's got some interesting things to say on Ben Simmons.
Hey, man, my balls are on fire.
He's not saying that.
I can't wait to hear.
I don't believe he's going to say that. But so we will look forward to having a chance to talk to Shaq in an hour.
I don't think Ben Simmons would have that effect on Shaq, that his balls
would get on fire. No, I don't think that would be that wouldn't be it. Now, there's some others. Let's get to game time.
It's 8:30 on Thursday morning, which means game time.
Today we'll be playing the buzzer beater game, Halloween candy synonym edition. Now your master of ceremonies, the guy who gives out the big size candy bars on Halloween,
right.
Pat Egan.
You give out the full size, Pat?
That's right. I ain't no bitch.
That is excellent.
Not the full size Johns.
You don't have any problem handling them, right?
I need to both hands. Anyway, no personal questions. So the way this game is going to work, and if you want to get involved, 610-632-0975. We're going to bring up the caller. The caller is going to pick one of you three gentlemen to be their lifeline.
Okay.
But I'm going to give them a synonym of a popular candy item that you might end up getting on Halloween. You just have to tell me what the actual name of that candy is.
Way to go.
So
everybody needs to stay quiet. Of us.
Yeah, so
until
like,
we're asked.
If I were going to give you, for example, if I were to give you Trace Compadres, the answer would be...
Ah, I got it.
Three Musketeers.
Oh.
So that's the way this is going
to
work.
I didn't say anything because I was told not to say anything.
No, that's
an example, Bob.
Yep, we're using that example. So 610-632-0975. And we got some really good prizes to give away. We have a case of Bud Light. We have $50 and Emerald 8 scratch-off tickets from the New Jersey Lottery.
Like that.
We have the Suicide Squad in digital, the good version, not the one from a couple years ago. And we have Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone in digital. So some really good prizes, 610-632.
And everybody gets a Sixers t-shirt,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes. And everybody who calls up, win or lose, gets a Sixers t-shirt.
Does Three Musketeers leave a little
they're
weird
awful.
Taste
it
in
sucks.
Anybody
they're
else's
awful.
Mouth?
Yeah,
I like it in the beginning, and then it finishes terribly.
Well, they're terrible.
This isn't a candy review, Jamie.
It's kind of like Ben Simmons.
Keep it in your pants. Let's go Bob in Conshohocken. Bob, let me ask you, which one of the three guys on the show do you want to be your lifeline in case you get it wrong?
Bob's going to go with Bob.
Okay.
My right. man. Now, he eats candy bars like a psycho.
When I give you the cinnamon, Bob, you're going to have five
synonym?
Seconds. Yeah, this is going to be a problem all day. Synonym, okay. synonym.
Cinnamon.
You were going to have five Cinnamon-son? Seconds to answer it, okay? If you get it wrong, then we'll go to your lifeline. You got it?
All right.
Your candy item is margarine digits. Margarine digits. Go.
Butterfinger?
Yeah, baby!
That is the correct candy.
Way to go, Bob.
Why did he get the buzzer? He won. He got the ding, 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 right?
Yeah, that was a part of the ticker, apparently.
Look, Coach
is over here sketching ponies. He's not really second level thinking this, but yes, we do
Excellent.
Have a winner. I like how Bob immediately yells,
did,
yes, baby, when he didn't even know if it was a correct answer.
He timed it within
know,
the
I
game.
Know,
so.
We knew that one.
It was Come actually on. Advanced level imaging by Coach.
Bob is going to win a case of Bud Light. Join me, Patty.
Which Bob? Which Bob?
The Bob on, just perked on hold. Up. Yeah, the Bob on hold. Join me for Saturday Night Game Night series on select Saturdays this fall. Unfortunately, since we're out in Vegas, I won't be here this Saturday. But next Saturday, I'll be at the Grog in Bryn Mawr. So visit 975thefanatic.com for a list of appearances.
Great
so, yeah,
bar.
Case of Bud Light. Let's go to Chris in Havertown. Chris, I'm sorry. No, let's go to Brian in New Jersey. Brian, which one of the guys do you want to represent you in case you get it wrong?
I'll go with Jamie.
All right, Jamie.
The fattest. Good choice.
Chris, tell me, what candy item is this? Every other Friday bar. Every other Friday bar. Go.
I know it.
Jamie, every other Friday bar. Save Chris.
I got nothing. Oh, my
oh,
gosh.
Oh, I know it, Bob.
No!
Knows it.
I don't know it.
Payday!
I'm sorry, it was payday. Every other Friday.
Payday!
Every
See,
other
you should have gone with Bob or I, Brian.
Bob yeah. didn't have it.
Yeah,
didn't
have Bob it. Had it.
No, I didn't.
Oh,
I didn't,
didn't
have it, no.
Payday!
Jamie
hey,
failed. That's okay. That's okay.
I'm
let's,
sorry.
Let's move on. Let's go to Chris in Havertown.
Right.
Let's finally get Chris up here. Chris, which one of the guys do you want to play with?
I'll take John, only because John hasn't been picked yet.
There we go.
All right, the candy bar that I'm going to give you, or candy item, I should say, is the Sir Great Slab. Sir Great Slab. Go.
What?
Sir Great Slab.
Not even. Not.
All right, John can save you. John, do you know what I'm talking about? Sir Great Slab.
I think Sir Great Slab would be Mr. Good Bar.
John,
wow.
you saved him.
How about it, Chris?
Johnny the K coming in and bailing him
there
out.
There you go.
Chris is going to end up winning the Suicide Squad on digital. Supervillains Harley Quinn, Bloodsport, Peacemaker, and a collection of Nutty Cons join the super secret, super shady Task Force X.
A what?
Starring Margot
Nutty
Robbie
cons.
And Idris Elba.
I thought he owned it now on digital and 4K Ultra HD. Thanks, guys. Let's
Slutty
keep going.
Con. Wait, sorry,
Mr. Goodbar
guy.
Sucks,
right?
Because I wanted to see it. Mr. Goodbar's terrible.
Yeah.
This once again, this is not a candy review.
Well, it's where Hershey takes the candy.
Let's go
good
to
enough.
Andrew
Scraps.
And Northern
it's a scrapple of candy bars,
gentlemen. Please, Andrew and Northern Liberties. Let's get them up. Andrew, which one of the guys do you want to play with?
Apparently, John knows his candy, so I'll go with John.
Okay, the item that I'm going to give you is chortles. Chortles, go.
Chortle.
I got it, Andrew. I got you.
Well, Andrew didn't get it. So, John, chortles. What candy item is it?
They are awful. They're jelly. They're sugar covered. They are chuckles.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't what I wrote down.
I was thinking Snickers.
Down. Snickers was the correct answer.
But, chuckles could also
I had chuckles.
But because it also applies to chuckles,
you're going
to
give
it to Andrew.
There you go. Good job.
Andrew
I had chuckles, which are terrible.
Going to win Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone on digital. Celebrate the 20th anniversary of the film now with Magical Movie Mode, a new way to experience the film and discover new facts, trivia, and secrets from the set. Look for it on digital and Blu-ray.
You know whose favorite candy was chuckles?
I don't care. We're moving on.
Bernie Sanders.
Let's go to John in the Northeast. Let's see if John likes chuckles. John, who do you want to play with?
Let's go with the bro.
All right, Jamie.
Oh, boy.
All right, Jamie.
Don't let him down if he gets it wrong, but you've got first crack at it, John. Tell me, what candy item is trash pyramids? Trash pyramids, go.
Oh, God. Oh, come on, bro.
My only guess is the worst candy in the world, and I got one stuck in my nose one time. Those god-awful candy corns.
Trash pyramids are indeed
nice.
Candy corn.
Good job, Jamie. I hate them, too.
They suck.
Oh, they're terrible.
Why are you picking the worst candy?
Because
it's good.
Because
rockets
with them.
All right.
How'd you get one in your nose?
I put it in my nose, and then I would shoot it out the other nostril. That's all they're good for, those
John
candy corns.
John is going to win the Suicide Squad in digital.
You guys never did that?
No.
Go ahead, Jamie.
You can launch one, Pat.
Nobody does these things.
Supervillains Harley Quinn, Bloodsport, Peacemaker, and a collection of nutty cons. Join the super secret, super shady Task Force X starring Margot Robbie, Idris Elba. Own it on digital and 4K Ultra HD. Let's keep going. Let's go to Jesse on the cell.
Hey, Jesse.
Jesse, who do you want to play with?
I'm going with Delco's finest, John.
There we go. Come on, Jess.
John, don't let him down, all right?
I won't.
Jesse, you get first crack at it, though. Tell me. Jamie, you want to play this game? All right. Jamie Lynch. Jamie Lynch is your guest. Go.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
All right, John, do you know what I'm talking about with the candy item? Jamie Lynch?
Okay, I work with him every day, so my only guess would be Airhead?
Nice. Jamie Lynch, also known as Airhead.
How about that? Jesse, good job, buddy.
Jesse, you're going to end up winning.
There we go. Delco, baby.
End up winning Harry Potter and Sorcerer's Stone on digital.
Airheads are great.
By the way, are there any more Harry Potter movies or are they all done?
No, that's it. Well, they have the spinoffs.
Okay, so they have the spinoffs.
Yeah, the spinoffs.
Okay.
Yeah, Fantastic Beasts.
Okay, good. Because he's Batman now, right?
No.
That's the vampire kid.
The series.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go to Steve in King of Prussia. Steve.
All right, Stevie.
Who do you want to play with?
Jamie, please.
Jamie? All right. Let's keep the track rolling with the show. Steve, Pat Egan is your hint. Pat Egan. What candy item is it?
No candy. So.
Jamie?
Sour Patch Kids.
That's not a bad guess.
I'm sorry. The correct answer is nerds, gentlemen. Nerds is the correct answer.
Because you're sour.
Answer.
You're a little
yes,
bit.
I think Jamie's answer
was
good.
You look like a kid.
I get it, but it's not what we had.
That wasn't it?
Written down. Yeah.
All right. Let's do a couple more.
Let's keep going. Let's go to Jim in Atlantic City. Jim, who do you want to play with?
John.
John, okay.
Everybody hates Bob's candy knowledge.
Yeah,
all right.
Well,
all he does
Bob
is watch sports and have sex. Let's go with Giddy Farmer. Giddy Farmer. Go.
No idea.
Oh, I feel terrible.
John, don't let him down, man. Giddy Farmer.
Really? I don't know.
All right.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
Dude.
The correct answer
is. I'm so sorry, Jim.
What?
Go to Bob. Bob?
No, I wasn't.
Nothing? Bob didn't have it either?
Jamie?
Giddy Farmer.
No idea. Happy Days? Going to
Jolly Rancher. Jolly Rancher is the
Jolly Rancher. Not bad.
Let's get two more.
Now, Rancher's not a farmer, but
I love
it's
a Jolly Rancher, too.
Let's get two more. It's not your game, it's mine. Let's go to Scott in Florida. Scott, who do you want to play with?
Let's go with Jamie, please.
Jamie, okay. Jamie, the candy item that you have, Tarte Field Children. All right, now, Scott, you answered first. Tarte Field Children, you have 5 seconds, go.
Sour Patch Kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah, there it
bang,
is.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, no, he nailed it. Yes, Sour Patch Kids is correct.
Sour Patch Watermelons, very underrated.
Good job, Scott. Scott, you were going to end up winning, and this is great because you're in Atlantic City. You're going to end up winning $50 in Emerald 8 scratch-off tickets from New Jersey Lottery.
That's good.
Play today because anything can happen in Jersey. Let's get one more. One more. Let's go to Tish.
Tish.
Let's go to Tish in New Jersey. Tish, which member of the show do you want to play with? No one's picked Bob.
I want Bob.
Thank you, Tish. I highly doubt that, but let's go.
Tish, he's taken.
Tish, tell me what candy I'm talking about. Let's go with the Andromeda Galaxy. Andromeda Galaxy. You have 5 seconds. Go.
Milky Way.
Yeah!
Nice!
Bang!
Way to go, Tish. I had your back.
Yes. And Bob also definitely knew that.
Good job, Tish.
Yeah.
Tish, you were going to end up, would you want the Suicide Squad or do you want Harry Potter?
What do you think,
Harry
Tish?
Potter. Harry Potter. All right, so she's going to win. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone on digital celebrate the 20th anniversary of the film. Now with Magical Movie Mode, a new way to experience the film, discover new facts, trivia, and secrets on set. Look for it on digital
and
Blu-ray. And the only one that we didn't get to that I'm looking at is, can any of you guys get the hint, D-Train? D-Train.
Peppermint Patty's
is correct.
I was going to say is Choo Choo Charlie was an engineer, so I was going to say Good and Plenty.
Yeah, no, you're wrong.
Good and Plenty suck, too.
They're awful. Yeah.
Why is there so much bad candy?
Well, licorice sucks.
You tried
I
one.
Like Twizzlers. Licorice is not candy. Is
licorice
it?
Rope, like they have in Wayne's World, out of the ceiling of the car, that's a fine item. But black licorice can go to hell.
Really?
That's
that
vile.
That was Danny's favorite. My mom loved the black
vile.
Licorice. Hate it.
You just told a candy to go to hell.
Yeah, damn right I did.
The man is passionate about food, Bob. Let's not criticize him.
He scares me sometimes.
If I said to you, you can have three candy items for the rest of your life, none other.
I'm a bit of a foodie douche. Gummy bears, Snickers, Take Five.
Wow. And the Take Fives, like, nobody wants them.
Oh, my God. It's the best candy bar in the world.
Nobody wants Take Fives?
Would they be top three?
I like Rolos.
Ooh, those are good.
You got a Rolos.
Twix are good.
Twix is strong.
Oh, you like caramel.
And probably Snickers. Yeah, I'm a caramel guy.
But you eat Snickers like a psychopath.
Yeah,
you don't need to explain to anyone what I do.
I eat the Hershey with almonds.
Classic.
Just Hershey with almonds.
Peanut butter cup is strong.
Reese cups. Got to have a Reese's
cup. The anti-Brian Westbrook.
Got to be able to have that. And then I think I would go an off-the-board check of Payday.
Oh.
Salty peanuts.
No, you're talking about the Every Other Friday bar.
Yes, the Every Other Friday bar. The one that leaves you very confident, Pat, very happy.
Until Sally Mae comes calling and wants her money.
Then she wants her money.
Then it leaves me sad.
Jamie, I do not understand... You seem, and I know every time his name comes up, Egan loves him. He is one of the most annoying media figures to me, Kendrick Perkins. And Egan loves him. I
love him.
What do you love about Kendrick Perkins?
Full transparency?
Yes.
He got back to me. And it's so difficult for guests for guests to actually get, like, to see people behind the scenes. Most of the time when we reach out to, like, a bigger name guest that isn't local, we're just hoping to hear back in any facet because most of the time we don't hear back at all, and Jamie can back me up on this.
Yeah.
But when they get back to you and they're actually willing to come on.
You like him.
I want to give him a big old bear hug.
I've heard good things about him, like, personally. I just don't like him as an analyst.
Yeah, that's fair. He was the first person to say that this Simmons thing was going to get hold out, ugly, all of that.
But he got that from Jamie Lynch.
Damn right.
But he also said that he would never show up.
Yeah. Well, totally that changed because money was on the line. He said that Doc Rivers set Ben Simmons up on Tuesday. If that's the case, good.
Do you think he did?
No, not really. I think Ben Simmons did whatever he had to do to not get in front of a microphone that day.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
I don't think Doc Rivers did set him up, but if he did, as Kendrick says, good. Then you can put on display for the world to see what they've had to deal with every day, which is a petulant child. So if Doc Rivers did set him up and Kendrick might, you know, have some channels to, you know, have some inside information there, good.
Now, he's a clutch mouthpiece.
Yeah.
So that always has to be taken into consideration.
Oh, absolutely.
He feeds the clutch line on
LeBron
every,
got him paid.
Every topic.
A lot.
Set him up how? Like,
yeah,
just
that's what
look
I don't
at,
get.
Look at the day before where they put him out there so that the media could see him. You know, no sweat. Doesn't have practice gear on. Something in his pocket. And then the next day he gets thrown out of practice and somehow it's somebody else's fault? Like, where are you coming from?
That's why it's clearly Clutch's spin on it.
Exactly.
But
Ben
was going to do whatever
ridiculous.
He thought was he was capable of to not step in front of microphones on Tuesday. I mean, that's clear.
Yeah.
He didn't want to answer those questions. He's going to do everything in his power to avoid those situations. And who knows when the next time we'll talk to him. They don't have practice today. Tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow he has to go to the shoot-around. It is now, read a piece. He must attend the shoot-around tomorrow morning.
That'll be interesting.
He is welcome to attend the shoot-around tomorrow morning.
But
so
he probably doesn't have to talk. What's the rule, Bob?
No, it's
once or twice a week they have to talk?
No, well, he's not practicing with the team. So technically, if you're not practicing with the team, your media obligations aren't there.
Yeah.
You need to be on the court practicing with the team in order for your media obligations to be enforced. So on a technicality, he does not have to.
Me with the media, but he has to be there, right? I mean, that's what they're saying.
He has to be there to be paid, as far as I understand.
What does that mean, though, Bob? Does it mean just show up in the building? Does it mean if it's a shit around, you got to be dressed? You got to be dressed properly?
I would assume you have to be taped. You have to be dressed. You have to be ready to go, be on the floor. Like I said, could there be ways around this? There could be. What if the Sixers said, I said it earlier, what if the Sixers call him and say, you know, we do have shoot around tomorrow, but we need you in at 6 a.m. to come in, and we have some extra work we want you to do to try to get
catch
you ready.
Up on the new
the offense. The collective bargaining agreement, would they step in at that point and say the Sixers are making it a hostile workplace?
They could, but there could be some loopholes there somehow, some way that the Sixers could, you know, it's almost like a game of, what can I do to you? What can I do back at you? It's kind of getting to that way. I shouldn't say I wish, but I just so we could get through this for a little while, if there was a 20-game suspension to be handed down because a guy has clearly shown he doesn't want to play for your team, I wish it could be handed down.
Just hand it down.
Hand it down. Take you to the end of November. It gets you closer to that December 15th deadline. You know, see what happens.
By the way, we still have people buying passes to our tailgate on Sunday morning at the Daylight Beach Club at the Mandalay Bay. So if you want to come out, you can still do that at phillysportstrips.com.
I think I reach out and tell him he'll be there.
Philly Sports Trips, we're going to have a good time, eh?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I said, Reem, look out for me. I'll be slinging the Shirley Temples.
phillysportstrips.com. And you can still get some passes, limited number of seats for the John Durenboss Magic Show Saturday afternoon. Sean on a cell, you get a chance to get in here quickly. How are you, Sean?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
Good, buddy.
I just want to talk about the Kendrick Perkins thing. If you listen to the whole video, he says that he's lucky that Doc set him up and he's lucky that he didn't put hands on him because he's seen Doc do that before with players.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he said he basically was on the Sixers side, basically saying Ben Simmons was at fault for showing up to camp and even acting the way that he's acting, that he needed to act professional. And the only one on the show that basically defended Ben Simmons was Richardson.
What is his name? Oh, my gosh.
What is his? Richard Jefferson.
Richard Jefferson.
Yeah.
He can't blink anymore. Richard can't blink. It's just got the Botox.
Well, Richard's Botox report is brought to you by PropSwap.com. It's the number one app to buy and sell golf bets all weekend long. Golf is perfect for PropSwap. So head there today, buy a golf bet, and sell it for a huge profit this weekend, and maybe you can afford Botox like Richard Jefferson.
I'm in the presence of greatness. You are so good.
His segues in is amazing.
So good.
Watching Jordan in his prime.
By the way, Tim on our YouTube channel, I pull up the window here. He says, the Caramello. I do not like the liquid caramel inside the chocolate.
As a kid, I crushed Caramellos. Delicious.
Yeah, we can see it.
I was skinny as a kid.
We can
later
that's
in life.
Terrible.
We are body shaming a lot lately. I don't like it. I have to tell you guys,
terrible.
I don't like it. And I wish for it to stop.
I was putting sympathy weight on.
My wife is pregnant. The liquid.
She wasn't 10 years ago.
The liquid caramel.
Screw you, Bob.
Coming out of it is not
caramels
good.
Caramels are delightful.
You sound like Anthony.
The show has gotten contentious. Right?
Well, I have one more before we get out of here at the top of the hour. Jamie, the biggest payouts in Las Vegas come when you sit at this slot machine. The most for sitting down
Wheel
at a
fortune.
Seat. Wait a minute. Sitting down at a seat. No, it is either. You got an answer. Yeah. Is it a penny slot, a nickel slot, a quarter slot, a dollar slot, or a $5 slot? You are getting the most wins.
I'm going to go with penny.
Penny slot is the most wins. That is correct. And it's not even close.
Hmm. Yeah, I figured the other ones would be too obvious.
Because they give out higher payouts.
Yeah.
Penny slots, by the way, you are most likely to walk away a winner when you cash out your ticket at a penny slot machine to come out with more money than you went in with. That's the most likely way you can come out.
And do you buy the theory of the one on the end is the most active?
Oh, yes.
Because it shows off to people.
They're showing off. And
yeah.
There's areas where we used to get told, go to see the era near Celine Dion at Caesars. Go play slots there before her show.
Oh, guaranteed winner.
Then everyone's standing around to get into the shot.
They go, I'll hit that on the way out.
And on the way out, and then the way out, they're just screwing you.
Yeah.
They're just screwing you at that point. All right, we expect Shaq in the next hour. Plus, there's a razor-thin margin of that tells you this is a winnable game this weekend. We'll be there next. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
Okay, I will go, and I will tell you about BetMGM. The reason why you had that dramatic pause there was because of the fact that I was on my BetMGM app. I was looking at some of the great odds. Look, last night didn't go my way. Joel Embiid didn't exactly hit the over, but BetMGM showed me the love. They're always looking to show their customers the love. So I bet $10 in a one-game parlay. I got $30 in a free bet. So even though that I didn't win my parlay, I won in the long run. BetMGM also wants to help new customers. They want to convince you that BetMGM is the way. So here's what they're going to do for you. Tonight, we have Denver versus Cleveland Thursday Night Football. If either team scores a touchdown, you're going to win $200 in free bets. You're probably thinking, all right, how? All you have to do, place a $10 money line wager on it. So here's the full spiel. When you sign up with BetMGM on the BetMGM app or BetMGM.com, they're going to ask you for a bonus code. You type in my name, 200. So Pat Egan, 200. Then all you have to do, make sure your first bet is a $10 money line bet on either Denver or Cleveland. Honestly, it doesn't matter because when the first touchdown is scored, you're going to be the proud owner of $200 in free bets. And then you can use that money however you want. And you can see the daily promotions. You can see the boosted odds specials. You can see all that BetMGM has to offer. So please do me a favor. Take this deal because it's not going to last forever. Hop on BetMGM.com or the BetMGM app. When they ask you for that bonus code, don't forget Pat Egan 200. Make sure your first wager, $10 money line on either Denver or Cleveland. And when the first touchdown is scored, you're going to end up being a winner. It's a new customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Pennsylvania only. If you or somebody knows a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with Hollywood Casino Morgantown.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
9 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show. We are hopefully going to be joined at the bottom of the hour by Shaquille O'Neal, who will have some interesting things to say about Ben Simmons. You've heard some of them on TNT. You've heard some of them you haven't heard yet, but I'll be glad to try to lure him into it. Get him to share some of it. I want him to tell you what Ben Simmons back in the day at LSU.
I mean,
when Ben Simmons was there and guys like Shaq reached out to try to coach him up.
Did you read the report from 2016 that came out yesterday? Right? I read it back on the show like 5-6 months ago, I think, when we were talking about the lobe of the brain fully developing. But this is Jonathan Givnoy, who covers the draft for Draft Express.
I think it's Gio.
Whatever. Giovanni?
Yeah.
I always thought it was Givnoy. Whatever.
No, it's definitely, yeah.
I'm butchering it either way.
You're doing great.
Yeah. Here's the report on Simmons.
Simmons' lack of competitiveness in crucial games has raised questions about his character. Those who know him best say he needs to revolve. Things need to revolve around him on and off the court, and that he's often been closed-minded to coaching or instruction. Ding, 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 ding.
Well, couldn't you have seen that? I mean, he loved being a social media and
he had Showtime following
star.
Him around in college.
Right, he loved that. Loved every bit of it.
And the real root of this is Joel Embiid is better and suited to be built around more than him. So the universe isn't revolving around him. And I think that's the main issue, is that Joe is better than him, more beloved than him, and frankly, just a better player than him.
So you think that's the big issue, biggest issue there?
It could be. You know, they were equally coddled when they came here to the 76ers. And you know, as I've told you guys many times, it was known throughout the organization how they were. Embiid went the right way of team player, get myself better and do what I have to do. Maybe in spite of the way the organization, meaning the higher ups, coddled him. And Simmons appeared not to go that way. He appeared to go just the other way. And that's why you are where you are. Or one of the reasons why you are where you are.
I'd love to hear more LSU stories.
You will. Hopefully Shaq will join us at the bottom of the hour. Just get done with your meeting, Shaq. 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. And for details, go to bagster.com. Sorry you're going to miss breakfast with us at Shaq's restaurant.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Is Shaq going to... He's not going to be there.
He's not going to be there. No, yes, they made him work.
That would have killed me.
They made him work.
He's my favorite all-time non-Philadelphia athlete.
He'll come here. He'll come here at some point.
Yeah, but if I was going to miss him on top of a Vegas trip... Oof.
Pat, he found out I was going, and he wanted to avoid the smoke.
Pat, Cinnabon waffle sound good to you, though?
Yeah.
That really does. Bob, I wouldn't see you. I'd see you being like two eggs, bacon, and toast. More traditional.
I like breakfast. Breakfast is a good item
you
for me.
You love breakfast.
Yeah, so I'll we'll see what they have
peruse.
To offer.
A little huevos rancheros.
There we go. Oh. Hey, the 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to bagster.com. And if you're in Vegas and you're coming out, we will be broadcasting live 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. Vegas time from the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook. And I laugh because I just can't wait to see what it's like. Can't wait to see how this all works out.
I'm bummed I'm missing all of you experiencing Vegas together.
Jamie, you'll be on normal sleep, though.
Yeah,
which is not
I'll be
right
fine.
Now, so it's not.
But Connor and Egan and Mike see in Vegas.
It's gonna be fun.
It'll be fun.
Hey, the Eagles gave up just 1.3 more points per game than the Raiders. They score just 1.7 points less than the Raiders per game. They're a field goal difference in teams, but the Raiders at 4-2 leaves them in contention. The Raiders at 4-2 leaves them people talking them about them being a sneaky, troublesome team. I'm going by the ESPN.com pollsters. A sneaky, troublesome team come playoff time in the AFC. 3 points total. Their defense, 1.3 points better than the Eagles. Their offense, 1.7 points better than the Eagles. It shows you how slim the margin of victory is in the NFL. This appears to me, though, to be a very... very winnable game. Raiders being talked about as a playoff team. Eagles an afterthought already in their division. I don't know. When Eddie Barkowitz told us about the 2.5 earlier, you know, that now has moved over to 3. And tonight's game even with Cleveland. I always wondered, this line seems strange to me. But now that I see the line, I understand why, Jamie. I understand why, because... these two teams are really, really close.
Yeah, just a quick glance at the Raiders' schedule kind of tells me a lot. They've played, in my opinion, two good teams, and they're 1-1 in those.
They lost
to the Chargers, and then they had that big win over the Ravens. Was that a Monday
Sunday
night?
I think it was a prime time game.
Yeah. I think it was Monday night. And they put up 33 on the Ravens, and the Ravens look like world beaters right now. Their other wins came against, they got smoked by the 49ers. The Eagles went toe-to-toe with the 49ers. They beat the Dolphins. They beat the Steelers. And let's not kid ourselves, Ben Roethlisberger stinks anymore, and the Steelers aren't good. The Bears beat them, and they beat the Broncos. They don't really have a lot of their wins.
And the Bears went in there and dominated.
That's what I said. 49.
Oh, I thought you said 49.
The 49ers smoked the Raiders. I'm sorry. That was the last preseason game, so that didn't even matter.
That didn't matter.
But yeah, like the Chargers put up 28 on them, no problem. They only put up 14 against the Chargers. To me, this is an extremely winnable game.
The Bears dominated them.
20-9 was the final score.
Listen to these rushing numbers, too, James, to go on your point. Denver averaged 4.9 a carry against them. Chicago went for 140 against them. The Chargers went for 168, 4.9 a carry. The Dolphins went for 133, 4.8 a carry. The Ravens went for 189, 5.6 a carry. Like John was saying earlier, it's there.
Jamie, I got to tell you this. Do not defend him if he comes in Monday and he throws the ball 40 times against his team. Do not come in and go, well he's trying to help Jalen Hurts.
Well, 40 might not be.
You're not helping him.
Well, it depends how many rushes. Like,
you got to run the ball.
I mean.
It should be a primary rushing attack.
What's your average amount of plays for an NFL game? Probably in that 70, 72,
right.
Something in there.
There should be, the running game should be, it should be like 50, depending on if they trail big. But there's, in the first half of the game, it should be almost a 60-40 pass run.
But if he throws it 40 times, that means there's 30 plays there for the run. So
no, as long as it's, as
I don't
as
care
like
what the
60,
passing total
gap.
Is. I'm curious what the rushing total will be. They need to run it more. I mean, nobody's denying that. The only people denying that are the coaching staff.
Who thinks they just don't, Pat, I guess they're, again, smarter than everybody. They have to think they're smarter than the rest.
They're stuck in their ways. I mean, they are convinced that. And this, look, this is a downfall of a lot of coaches and GMs and some athletes. Would look at Ben Simmons. They think that their way of doing it, it's fail proof, and that leads to failure a lot of times. When you can't admit that what you're doing is not working, and you need to find another way.
I hope this wasn't their. I hope this wasn't their plan, Pat. That they sold Jeffrey Lurie on.
Well,
because if this was, I don't know. I honestly, I don't know how he got the job.
You know, I remember hearing Ben McAdoo was incredible in his interview. Absolutely incredible. Where the hell's Ben McAdoo now?
Is Ben McAdoo even a coordinator?
I don't think so. But he's probably still getting paid by the Giants. But like, there's a prime example of a guy who not only was he was so good in an interview that he forced the Giants' hand to get rid of Tom Coughlin.
He is a consultant with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
A consultant.
I can't believe he's not a consultant with the Eagles because they only have about four of them on the.
He had a little Ted Lasso look to him.
No, he had a NASCAR.
With that mustache.
He had a NASCAR pit crew boss look.
He had a Homer City, Pennsylvania.
What?
He's from Homer City, Pennsylvania.
Where's Homer
Ben
City?
McAdoo?
No idea.
Oh, yeah. We can't talk bad about him, guys. He's local. We can't talk bad about
Homer
him.
Homer City.
He looks like a guy that had skid marks.
Stone's throw from Eagle Hill.
What?
Homer City.
Where do you get that?
He just looks sloppy.
Hey, Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Mike McCarthy looks like that.
Mike McCarthy's going to be canned at the end of the year, even if they win the division.
You think they're going to keep... Dallas wins the division.
They're not going to want to lose Kellen Moore.
So they're going to fire Mike McCarthy with 3 years left on his deal?
No. Then Kellen Moore's gone.
Kellen Moore will be gone.
I think they'd rather keep Kellen Moore.
They're not firing Mike McCarthy. If they go... And if they win a playoff game... They're absolutely not firing him.
Oh, Homer City is right outside Pittsburgh.
Homer City.
Stone's throw away, as I said.
Yeah.
It's in Indiana County.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Indiana University of Pennsylvania is one I still don't comprehend.
What do you mean you don't comprehend?
I don't comprehend.
University of Miami, Ohio.
I know. It's stupid.
Well, guess what? There's a Philadelphia, Mississippi. Cities aren't only in
Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
There's a Paris, Texas.
I've never understood it. I've never understood that either.
I don't get it.
Because I think what we're associating with it is at Indiana University. It's
yeah,
not.
Just call it something else.
It isn't. It's
your head's in a pretzel.
Hey, check out the Tyrone Johnson Show live from the Bet Rivers Sportsbook at Rivers Casino Philadelphia every Saturday 9 to noon. You can watch college football action on the 56-foot LED screen. You can win great prizes and more. Tyrone Johnson keeps you entertained, informed, and a little intrigued every single Saturday morning from 9 to noon, live from the Bet Rivers Sportsbook. And remember to be listening. Tom McGinnis is going to say, get excited. And when he does, you can win a Sixers t-shirt, which is great. Go to tickets at 76ers.com if you need tickets for the home opener. Or... tomorrow, every hour of the show, Bob will have a trivia question that can win you Sixers tickets to the opener tomorrow night. So if you want to go to the big game tomorrow night versus the Nets that we will be watching at our Welcome to Vegas party tomorrow.
I will be down there with Devon doing a little pregame in-house.
Ah, a little nice. In-house pregame.
So, yeah, I'll probably catch a little myself.
You're going to see James Harden?
Yeah, I'll probably bounce by halftime.
Is he going to show you his man purse?
Did you see his reaction yesterday, getting named one of the 75 greatest players? It was pretty cool.
I think you put the glasses on because I think he was choked up.
Yeah, and he looked back at the reporters and he went, of all time? It was pretty cool.
I think that was fantastic.
It was really cool.
By the way, he deserves. I was on the list, and I tried to look at the list of the people that are already on. I'm going, okay, James Harden deserves to be on that list.
Oh, he's one of the best scorers of the ball ever.
But I think he got choked up and he put the sunglasses on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, when you look at the other names that he goes on with, that's all you need to do. You can look at 10 names and you say, my God, they're lumping me with these guys, the likes of,
he was
you
moved.
Know, Wilton and, you know, Larry Bird, Allen Iverson.
He was moved by it. Yeah, and you good. Saw to James Harden. I mean, James Harden appreciated
it. Yeah, it meant a lot to him. And I wonder if Shaq makes the list.
I wonder. Yeah. And then he picked up his man purse.
Yeah. Okay. It was a clutch.
It's a purse. It's a woman's purse.
It's a clutch. It's for on the go. It's for like
your wedding. Wait, Bob.
If he wants to have a man's purse, he can have a man's purse.
He can. No one's saying he can't.
You're making fun of him.
Why is that? It's a man's purse.
We're going to call
it a woman's purse.
You just said it's a woman's purse.
It's a purse. It is a purse. It's
the hangover not teach you anything? It's a satchel.
No, I thought the satchel had to have a strap. Thought a satchel has to have the strap.
You thought wrong.
That was the clutch. And then Jamie came up with the idea, right? Whose idea was it?
Oh, that was Connor's.
Connor's
clutches,
idea?
Clutches. Oh, yeah. It's a million-dollar idea. These guys don't know how to make money. They should jump on that.
Did you see LaMelo?
He's
at
good.
The post-game press conference?
Yeah, that was an absurd outfit.
What is it?
I mean, Russell Westbrook dressed up like Daphne from Scooby-Doo the other night. I don't know what's going on.
He did. Now, Bob, you laugh at that.
I think it's funny. I don't care.
You didn't like, but you were offended that I said he's carrying a purse.
He said he's carrying a woman's purse.
Yes, I said it's a purse.
It's a man's purse.
LaMelo looked like Inspector Gadget with that jacket. I don't get it. Whatever.
It's a banana yellow trench coat that goes to your ankles.
Yeah, it's quite weird. I mean, but he balled out, so.
They can get away with it.
Yeah, because, you know, if Joel wanted to wear a unitard, I'm fine with it.
It was absolutely. LaMelo.
He's good.
I got to tell you, I was wrong.
I thought he'd be good. I didn't know if he was going to be this good.
No, he's this good.
He appears to be that good.
I absolutely, totally wrong on LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, he's...
And by the way, if you notice, LaMelo's the one that's getting credit as being the son who tells Dad, shut the hell up. That he's the one...
He really backed off, though. I thought he was going to be a much worse problem for Lonzo.
Yeah, but he was a problem for Lonzo.
For the first year, it was.
For Lonzo, he was.
But he realized 15 minutes of fame should only be 15 minutes.
Yeah, he
didn't try to carry it over into an hour.
But LaMelo is the one who reportedly, if you read the stories on them, he's the one to most likely go, Dad, my time.
Yeah.
Dad, my career.
Yeah.
That he's the one to least get pushed
around.
You're
on my coattails now.
You're right. Dad, you're on the payroll.
Yeah.
You're on the payroll. Just be quiet. Don't get anything troubled. Sixers with a big win last night. Opening win of the year. You don't want to overstate it, but that was impressive last night, and it was fun, Bob. It was a fun watch.
Yeah, Korkmaz made it fun, obviously, with all the threes that he hit in the third and fourth quarter there, and the bench played really, really well. You know, first game, it's good. You want to get that win. You want to kind of get an identity, which they're trying to do now behind all this Ben Simmons stuff. Them going out to dinner down in New Orleans on Wednesday night when they got down there.
I want to know where they went.
I would say probably Emeril Lagasse's place, I would assume.
Bam!
Yeah, we went down there one time when I was covering the team. But anyway, I just think that it was a good, the bench standing up and cheering, and it's a come-together type of thing. And this can bring a group together, all this turmoil that's surrounding them. And the one thing I take from the court was, man, if that second unit can do a good enough job of defending first shots... There ain't going to be a lot of second shots because Andre Drummond is an unbelievable rebounder, as we all knew before, but it's a one-shot-and-done type of thing in that second unit.
19 minutes is pretty ridiculous.
Well, last year didn't, to be honest, didn't...
Dwight was pretty good at rebounding.
A rebound per minute.
He was a lot of the season. Per minute, I think he was second in the NBA in rebounds per minute.
Yeah,
I
mean, Drummond has obviously way more offensive game. But when you have a Thibault out on the court and you have some other guys that are athletic out on the court that can play defense and you're only asking them to do it half court wise for
15, 18 seconds, whatever it may be, and you know when the shot goes up, there isn't going to be a second shot, man, that is a huge, huge relief. And it was a big reason why the Sixers bench outscored New Orleans last night, 45-17.
One of our listeners says spies say that the Sixers were at G.W. Finn's. And if they went to G.W. Finn's, that is an excellent choice. Spectacular.
Yeah,
that's
Joel,
a great eating town.
Joel's really, we talked about the two going opposite directions. Joel last night said, you know, typically on the road, I'm in the room playing video games. The fact that he's out and about, like, this Simmons thing is going to bring this team together. Because Joel's going to want to send a message. Dude, we don't need you.
And
he's going to sell that to the Tyreses and the Isaiah Joes and the Korkma. This could be a good thing for the remainder of the team in a weird way.
It's got me excited.
Yeah.
Get excited.
Joe's there we go.
Get excited.
215-263-0975.
You can get excited.
I am excited. How much more can I get excited?
Get excited.
I am. You get a Sixers t-shirt. Call 215-263-0975. Third caller. We'll walk away with a Sixers t-shirt. If you want to go to the home opener every hour tomorrow on the show, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets. And Bob Cooney will come up with it on the plane today. We'll come up with his questions.
Yeah, it'll probably pop in my head tomorrow if we're going to be honest, but we'll see what happens.
Coach would like the questions?
The answer is Jarvis Varnado.
What do you think? Coach, you want the questions like you would like Bob to send them to you?
Kind of like them right now if you have them. You have them right now?
Name me one number 20 on that played for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Markelle Fultz.
Jody Meeks.
Kentucky.
We can't do that question now,
Doug
Bob.
Collins.
Appreciate it. Oh, yeah. That's not Jody Meeks. That's another Jody we know and love. The Flyers win last night, too, over the Bruins. I like the win. Pat, you sort of brought me down a little bit, though, saying, and you're not wrong. Yeah, I wish we were here.
No, look, enjoy the win. I'm not trying to
poo-poo on it,
but I think the true test will come against Florida. Because that Florida team is super legit, and I just don't think
they are legit. This
Bruins team has the same cachet as they used to in the past.
So do you not think team, you do not? Do you think it's likely that the Flyers finish ahead of the Bruins?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the Bruins are on the way down.
Well, I like that.
Yeah.
So smart move not playing Carter Hart last night. In your opinion?
I mean, smart because it worked out, but I didn't like it at the time.
Okay. Would you have gone Hart last night on Saturday?
I would have went Hart last night. And NHL teams are doing this now, which is weird. But, you know, like the Rangers started their backup goaltender opening night.
Like, why?
Yeah, it's dumb. And I know Jason Martinez, who we had on yesterday, was kind of defending the move. But
you calling Jason dumb?
No. He was just defending the move a little bit because Martin Jones hadn't played in a while. But I don't care about Martin Jones.
No, I don't care either.
I want to get Carter Hart. I want to build on the success that he had the previous night against the Kraken. So I wouldn't have done it. Yeah, I would have started Carter Hart. It's not like it's back-to-back, but they didn't. It worked out, so... AV's forgotten more hockey than Oliver now.
Okay, we get top three in the division, right? And then the two wild cards, is that still how they're going this year?
I believe so.
In the conference, I mean? Top three in each division. It's just
so...
The NHL has such a terrible playoff format.
It's the best playoff of all
sports,
it's
great
you know?
Sport.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
It's just they make it very convoluted to figure out, well, who's in the
There's
playoffs?
A lot of them.
Who's
it's
there?
It's easier to figure out who's not in the playoffs.
Yes, it is. So, by the way, Montreal played for the Cup last year. And
struggling.
And they're 0-4.
Well, Carey Price is out.
Struggling. I got you.
They also lost a couple of key guys to...
That's not good.
...to free agency. I mean, their top line was gutted.
I hate the Penguins. Don't like the Caps much.
And I hate that Hextall's there.
Well, the Flyers told him to leave.
I know. And he had every right to go there.
Against him,
it's not against him. It's just gross seeing him associated with that stupid bird.
All right, we're going to see if Shaq is awake after his meeting because he's worse than Bob in meetings.
Oh, really?
So yes. We will find out if Shaq's awake and ready for us coming up. So stick around, won't you? It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Hey, visit Hooters during this month and help in the fight against breast cancer. And when I tell you that that's something that you can do right now, you can buy one of their 2022 calendars. Buy them right now. And you can give $1 of your proceeds will be given to fight breast cancer. And right now, you're going to love Hooters. Because if you're going away for, let's just say you're having a party at your house. You want everybody over and you want the fun of Hooters, but you don't want to all go out to Hooters. Right now, you can do Hooters to go. Go to HootersToGo.com. You'll be the MVP. Hooters To Go will prepare the entire party for you. Dine in, to go, curbside, or delivery. Hooters brings the flavor. Hooters brings the fun right to your house. Look, Hooters is the cure for the common restaurant. And you can pull up at the curb and they'll have it all ready for you. Hooters wings, burgers, sandwiches, and seafood. You'll love it. Visit NortheastHooters.com. That's NortheastHooters.com to find the location nearest you. Have fun at Hooters or bring Hooters home to you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You know, whatever you're into, you'll find it at Audible. Listen to thrillers, motivation, comedy, and more with podcast bestsellers and originals all in one app. Sign up and start free at audible.com. We are hoping that we will have Shaquille O'Neal join us. Get me the hell out of this meeting. So we're waiting for him to get the hell out of his meeting. Which
I know the feeling.
Bob and Shaq, very similar in meetings. Oh my gosh!
I have a reputation. It's simply that, a reputation. It's not true.
Yesterday in the middle of our meeting, we were like, "What the hell is Bob doing? He's on a FaceTime call."
FaceTiming with Rock.
I was distracted. It was an accident. Yeah.
An accidental FaceTime.
And I said to them, "I have to go. I'm in a very intriguing meeting."
I
think we were talking about the difference between tables and chairs at that point of our meeting.
Well, what?
Yeah, there's going to be a table there and chairs.
And
a table.
I don't remember that at all.
And chairs.
I mean,
that's what Pat told me. I wasn't paying attention. So.
I don't remember that at all. Tables and... I was at
Jamie,
the meeting.
Jamie was making... You weren't listening. Jamie was making the point that they were basically the same, and I was calling him an idiot.
Well, tables and
a
chairs?
A chair can be a table,
We
though.
Started throwing...
You a table
wanna,
can't
do,
be
you
a chair.
You want to do this again, you jackass?
I guess a table could be a chair.
We already fought in the parking lot once. You want to do it again?
They're pretty similar.
Okay, well, hopefully Shaq can get out of this meeting and join us. Are you ready for a long flight?
Doesn't he have enough money? Yeah. Come on, Shaq.
He's got more money than God. Yeah. you ready for the long flight? It's a long flight. So it's an hour and
five
some
and a half?
An hour and some longer here than I'm used to going from the south.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of a long flight. Bob, do you have any flight idiosyncrasies?
When I flew before, if it was over 2.5 hours, I was on the aisle. If it was under 2.5 hours, I was on the window.
Oh, okay.
5.5 hours when I was alone, it would be huge reading materials. However, today, I think there's going to be a lot of friends on our flight, so I'm just anticipating socialize. No, I really don't drink during flying.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah.
You drink on a flight, Jamie?
Oh, yeah.
Or you drink before the flight?
Both.
The airport beer is one of my top three favorite beers. The destination going somewhere beer in the airport and people watching. I love people watching. Like, I could sit at a bar and people watch all day. The airport, there's no better place to do it than that.
I love the airport. In and of itself,
Anthony loves the airport, too.
I love the airport.
Even though
it's time to stop. It's time to open businesses up again.
Yeah, it surprises me. I think they finally opened economy parking down
there. Zany Brainy.
Oh, they did?
I was told that. Borders.
What about it?
Zany Brainy. That store was awesome.
It's time to open some businesses back up.
You going
Discovery
there?
Zone.
You going, Pat? You going to be all right with a long flight? You're all right.
I'll be fine, yeah. I'll be fine. Just don't bother me.
Zany Brainy.
See, now, we share...
Pat's sitting next to me.
We share some of that.
Yeah.
That's going to be... Don't bother him?
Hashtag bring back Zany Brainy.
Oh, man.
Get a trend.
Pat and I are going to play little cards on the plane.
No, we're not.
Yes.
No?
I brought Uno.
There's a really easy way to get you to not even bother me, Bob, and that's just, and I do it every flight. I take my pants off.
You doing that?
Take my pants
off.
Don't
be doing
that. Comfortable.
How about
that guy?
I swear to God, I want to punch him in the face sometimes.
Oh, 1 minute you want to play cards with
window
me. The next minute you want to punch me in the face.
I
wanted to play
Pat.
Cards. I didn't want you to be naked.
Window or aisle, Pat?
Window.
Window?
Yeah. Because I usually don't get up.
So you usually don't get up.
Nah.
It's a long flight to not get up, though.
I hate to ask people to get up, but I prefer the window because my elbow always gets rammed by the cart in the aisle because I'm broad-shouldered.
You're Julia Gulia.
If there's a middle seat...
Yeah, very good.
If there's a middle seat, do you own two armrests?
I try to. You got to exert dominance early on.
I don't like middle seats.
So those are the worst. Yeah, you got to show that row what's up. These are my armrests.
That 75-year-old woman next to me, she's going to find out.
The middle seat is supposed to get the two armrests.
Yeah. Because you're in hell.
Because
the middle
stuck.
Seat sucks.
They're terrible.
Oh.
Bob in a middle seat would just be... It would not be friendly.
Yeah, I've been lucky.
Well.
I would say maybe of the hundreds of flights that I have been on, I would say middle seat maybe 2%.
Do you think they could do what trains do and have the two rows facing each other so that there is no awkwardness? In
they do
up?
On they do on team charters.
Yeah,
I've been on team charters.
But they must lose space.
They
right?
do because they don't need as many.
It'd be so much better.
But they set up the seats across from each other, and then they have card tables.
Yeah,
where you can also sit at.
That should be every.
And they have card tables that they even have seatbelts.
Hmm.
So you can sit there and you can play cards with a seatbelt on if you need to. By the way, our YouTube crew is really smart people. But I saw some misinformation that was thrown out there. Did you know that Hooters began in the... Mopar said Hooters started in Silicon Valley.
No.
It did not.
Clearwater
it started in
Beach.
Clearwater, Florida.
Yeah. I've been
Come
there.
Come on,
to
Mopar.
To the original.
Come on, Mopar.
We say Mopar.
Hooters is in Clearwater, Florida.
Yeah.
That's the original one. And the location is still there.
Yeah, I've been
and
there.
They've redone it. So while we wait, and I'm get out of the meeting shack. In the linchpin... Jamie tells us something that Nick Sirianni was absolutely fascinated by. I'm thinking it was one of those fidget spinners.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni said him and his staff were football fans this weekend.
Yeah.
And observed a lot of college football and pro football. Good?
Did they really?
Good? I mean, the Thursday game does allow you, typically on a Sunday... He's not able to watch the league. Even if you have a Monday night game, you're probably doing your own prep and yada, yada, yada. He probably doesn't get a lot of Sundays to just watch the league. So playing the Thursday night game, he got that opportunity. Our own buddy Zach Berman asked him the follow-up question, well, like, what kind of jumped out to you? And he said, I don't want to give you the specifics. Maybe I can give you that off the record another time. But he did say the Jacksonville-Miami game early in the morning... Kind
an
of
awful game.
Yeah, kind of spurned the most conversation. And he said not even from the offensive side of the ball, but more the defensive side of the ball, where he started texting Gannon and the defensive coaches. I mean, the end of that game was wild and weird, but I don't know what you would take out of that from the offensive side of the ball.
No, I think he saw himself in the game, Bob.
Perhaps.
I think he said, you know what? My teams look like these teams. Are they good? Because this is how I coach.
That's what my thought was. Like, oh, wow, too. Look, there's somebody with equal ineptness. Yeah. No? I appreciate his answer because he should be doing that, but it wasn't confidence instilling. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I watched the league. I think if he watched the league, personally, he would see the difference in quarterbacks. And that
and
would
coaching.
Be the first thing. Maybe. But, like, seeing a Trevor Lawrence rip one and seeing a Jalen Hurts rip one, they're two different animals.
Pat, did you see anything in that Jacksonville-Miami game that said, yeah, that's something that we can learn from?
Not at all.
Exactly.
I think this is him trying to kind of prove that this is why I get paid. Like, oh, I'm doing my job, guys. Even on my day off, I'm doing my job.
I'm working hard.
What could you possibly take from that?
Well, they were also, self-scouting.
Team. Yeah, well, obviously.
During that time.
Playing rock, paper, scissors at the same time.
He's got a list. Someone gave him a list of five things to say at every press conference, and he just keeps repeating them.
I think the one thing he would take away from the defensive end, Miami at the end of the game, I don't know if you were watching, but they played two safety deep on the final play with, I think, 6 seconds left. And Urban just took what was there.
Quick slant.
And the quick slant underneath got him in the proper amount of field goal range, and they hit it. So maybe defensively he's telling Gannon never do that. I mean, but does that really need to be texted?
I don't know what was going on.
Like, aren't most of the observations from that game pretty obvious?
I don't know what's obvious with him. I really don't.
Yeah,
I know what's obvious.
I'm always interested in seeing how somebody sees something.
Yeah.
And I would love to watch a game with a head coach, like watch a game like that with a head coach, a defensive coordinator, whoever,
and have them say, oh, look what I saw on that play was this. I would love to see that. I don't know what they are, and I'm not putting them down. I don't know what they look at or what they saw in that game that was so intriguing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, wagerpro.com is your one-stop shop to beat the book. Get scores, odds, and free winning picks. Visit wagerpro.com. Mopar says he was making a joke. It was a subtle joke of humor at
that wasn't
Silicon
subtle.
Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should have been silicone, but it was a play on the silicone. Gotcha.
He's talking about the boobs.
Well, I'm figuring that that's probably what he was talking about at the point. Hey, that's a reason to get excited, isn't it? It should be.
Could be. You never know.
We'll give away pairs of tickets every hour tomorrow on the show to the Sixers home opener.
That's great.
Bob has questions that he's going to ask.
I have questions, and they need answers, Coach.
Well, Coach wants the questions
can
before
you find
he
the not happy. Coach and I are not getting along today.
Okay, why are you not getting along, Coach?
I don't know. It's there's just the dynamic between us. It's not working today.
I think it's sexual tension.
What's I don't know, Coach. No, it definitely sexual tension.
Yeah, that's what I'm picking up on.
Just getting under my skin today. That's all.
I bet you wish he was.
What is it? Like, what is it? Did it start out on a bad foot this morning at 5 in the morning?
He's not Rex Ryan. Let's relax.
Let's see. Coach said I was staring at him one time during a segment.
Yeah, I bet he was.
And he said it was weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
And then he got mad at me for running out of the room, and I questioned him on it, and he got mad.
Yeah, I got mad at you for doing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had to run out of the room to talk to one of our guests to make sure we were aligned so that the show would run properly.
That you did a good job with.
And Coach got mad at me for doing that. He said I should walk next time because people were upset.
I said,
and
walk
calmly. Why were people upset?
And who are the people?
No. So as soon as Bob jumped out of his chair to run into the control room here, everybody, all of us were looking at him like...
I knew what he was doing.
What was going on? And maybe something like an emergency happened. So I didn't want that to disrupt the show.
He was running to Egan.
Calmly in here and take care of business. That's all.
There's a time element, Coach.
He was running
away
from
my mic.
Guys, this isn't hard. We don't need a blow by blow. It's the sexual tension. It is palpitating.
It's palpitating?
Palpitable? Who's Kelly McGillis?
Palpitable. That's it.
Who's Kelly McGillis and who's Tom Cruise?
That's a good question.
Coach has dressed the part today. I mean, he's all dressed up. He's got it
love
going on
wiener.
Today. Yeah.
Coach, you look like you're getting ready to make a great impression today.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're more Kelly McGillis.
Mm-hmm.
He's more Kelly McGillis?
Yeah. Who is? Coach.
Coach has that the girlish
figure.
If
you put a wig on Coach, he could look like Kelly McGillis.
Yeah.
Does Coach have dress shoes on
with jeans?
Yeah. Boots on today.
Oh.
His boots are made for walking.
Man, love the big wiener.
You don't like the dress?
Keep it in your pants. I don't think I've ever worn it. I swear to God, I don't think I've worn a pair of boots in my life.
Yeah, I'll bang that.
You know, wait. You have to have worn boots at some point, right? What about snow boots?
My parents couldn't. I had nothing.
Sneakers?
I was lucky I wasn't barefoot.
You wore sneakers
I found myself doing you yesterday.
Yeah, sneakers.
And they would get all wet, and I'd wear them to school the next day before I put my shoes on. Yeah. I've never worn a pair of boots, I don't think.
What about galoshes?
No.
Never.
That was plastic bags that I put a rubber band in.
Yes, remember doing that with the Wonder Bread bags?
What's technically galoshes?
Wonder Bread bags.
You called them rubbers.
Rubbers.
In front of your parents.
I called something else rubbers.
I never called them rubbers.
What?
Oh, did you, Pat? Congratulations.
What, Pat?
Condoms.
And they would expire?
Prophylactics.
They would expire?
They all expired. I never got to use any of them.
Okay, Shaquille apologizes.
What's the general keeping him late?
He's apologizing. He's like, get me the hell out of here. I'm like, yes. I said, we tried it.
He's the boss. He can leave. This is ridiculous.
No, that's the problem is.
The general
is that
runs
the
a tight ship.
Here's what I'm guessing. He showed up 20 minutes late for the meeting.
Mm.
That would be my guess because I got that prank pulled on me too many times.
We have
a meeting. We have a meeting at 10 o'clock. Okay. Meeting with a client at 10 o'clock. I'm there. He's not. Oh, well, we should get the meeting started. And then around 10:25, he rolls in like a rock star. The whole meeting comes to a halt. We've done all the work for the meeting. And then he just rolls in to take a few pictures and selfies. He goes, I didn't really want to go to that anyway. So it was constant. It's good to be able to just say, I've got enough money.
I've got enough.
We will catch up.
Must be cool.
We will catch up to him, by the way. By the way, have you seen those Papa John's stock?
Shaqueronis are donating $1 to every...
You doing the Shaqueroni?
I would.
I haven't done the Shaqueroni yet.
I have not done the shakarama.
I appreciate a lot of pepperoni, so that's a good thing.
I figured
thing.
You would.
I like pepperoni.
I don't like pepperoni.
Matt says, what? Are we going to, am I taking the boys to Circus Circus for dinner while in Vegas? A little, the best steakhouse on the strip is in Circus Circus. And Circus Circus should have been, should have been closed in 1978. Mm-hmm. I think they should have closed the place.
Anthony and I went to some steakhouse that was awesome.
Where'd you go, Ant?
It had the wall with the water. Okay. What the hell was it? What hotel was that?
That was in,
I can't remember.
That place was ragged, man.
Do you remember where? Steakhouse.
No, I gotta think.
On the Sixers tab, too. It was great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Was it a hotel steakhouse?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was.
Was it Wynn?
It might have been Wynn.
Because Wynn is beautiful.
Oh, you were at Wynn. You did go to Wynn.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
That's it. Because
I remember
when
that. Yeah.
When I hear the water wall,
yeah.
I know there's...
SW Steakhouse.
Yes. Okay, yeah, there's the water wall.
It. What was it called again?
SW Steakhouse.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that was
Luke,
banging.
Luke says, Cuz walks in like a bully who's taking your lunch money.
Come on.
When he comes on in there.
So let's look. You guys are leaving, though. Let's hash this out, because I got some things for you.
Okay.
All right. Now, well,
you got some things for us.
I just want to find out, because I want to make sure you. Now, the only thing that worries me about you, Johnny,
is what?
That you're going to be too regimented.
No, I won't have anything that will have any effect on anyone else.
Oh, really?
Other than just doing the show? No, I mean, I don't.
No, but are you really? So you're not doing? Oh, you tell me.
No, I mean, I'm regimented as far as I have my envelope system.
What's that?
I got an envelope for each day. I've got gambling money in it for each day.
All right.
I put it in the safe.
That's good.
I put it in the safe. I take out that day's envelope. I gamble with that money in it. Whether I'm up or down at the end of the day, that money goes back in that envelope. It goes in the safe. The next day, I start fresh with the next envelope.
Wow.
So that way, when I have the big day when I'm up,
you know what?
Or the
That's
big day
awesome.
When I'm down, I tend to come home pretty much with what I brought.
So do you, that's wow.
I don't go back into... The Thursday envelope will be sealed.
Right.
I don't go into it again.
See, God bless,
so
man.
There is a little bit of regimen.
You and I.
No.
There is a little bit of regimen.
No, we were betting WNBA games in Old Vegas.
Yeah, no, I love
not good.
I love
no, wait,
I will only sit at third base of a blackjack table. Is that regimented?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will not sit. I will
now,
only
what
sit
games
at third
you
base.
Like? So you do blackjack?
Blackjack.
You roll the bones?
No.
You
too social
sports?
Oh yes, sports. I'll be there the whole time.
Okay.
Too as Christina will say, if she ever had to find me, she knows it's the pool, it's the blackjack table,
or the sports ball,
or sports ball.
That's awesome.
That's where it's going to be.
So,
and it has to be third base though. So if you're talking about regimented, that is sort of regimented.
Yeah.
Because it's a big thing. Coaches got to learn this too. I always tell them, I said, be on a plane with me, be at church with me, be at a blackjack table. You'll hardly hear from me. And at every other place, you can't get me to shut up.
So we've heard plane, that before, though.
Like, what do you sleep on a plane?
I don't like being in the cramped quarters for that long. So I tend to be a little more low-key because I'm anxious.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So a little pop before going on the plane might be worth it.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
For that long. But that's about it.
I like the headphones
You should do a lozenge.
Weed lounge?
You can when you're there. Yeah. I'm quiet on the plane, though. Quiet at blackjack table, quiet at church.
Yeah?
Don't talk at church.
Well, you don't talk at church?
No, don't talk.
Besides the priest, who does talk at church?
Well, my wife and daughter.
Well, do they really?
They find some reason to talk during church. Yeah. I don't understand it.
My father made it fun because my father used to say things.
Like, make you during the sermon?
Yeah. Make fun of the priest during the sermon?
Yeah.
I mean, my wife and daughter find a reason to have to talk about something during church.
Yeah, I hear you. You know.
Yeah, what about you? So that's not too regimented, is it?
No. Well, okay. So, but what else are you doing? So you're gambling.
I'm gambling.
What else?
I'll eat.
Right. Now, there are places you...
There's a place called Yellowtail.
Okay. Yes.
And I was told by
Let's
Vince...
Let's talk more about me.
I told Vince that that's supposedly John Durenboss's favorite place, too. And he'll be with us on the trip. A place called Yellowtail at Bellagio.
Okay.
Great. Great sushi.
You're not doing any shows.
No.
My man.
I would with my if my wife was coming.
Okay. All
but
right.
No,
my
no,
man.
No,
all right.
No,
look, the fellas.
No.
That was my point.
They're going
to
that.
See, I thought I was worried because
no.
I thought you were going to do shows.
No.
Like you talked about this circus.
They're doing
like,
the Golden Knights.
Which
no.
I
said
which
circus,
I would like
circus.
To slice Lean my beyond. Throat.
Oh, no. That's a, I've been to, because when Christina's, when we go out every summer and we'll go to a show. I'll take her to a show.
Okay.
But not, no.
No, you're with the fellas.
No, so
you're not
no.
going to do that. All right. That's good.
No. And we're going to make more, and we're going to meet new friends on this trip too. Remember, we got all the people from Philly Sports Trips that'll be with us.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, that'll
some
be
of the
fun.
People.
Yeah, Vince and Bob have good people with
they're
them.
They're great.
Yeah.
Vinny and Bob.
You guys are doing Denver. Denver's awesome. I love Denver.
We did.
Great.
You know, Miami. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Now, you did Miami, though, right around Christmas, right?
It was awesome.
Wasn't
we
it?
Had a great
what,
time.
Yeah, I think it was
Dallas?
Early December.
Dude,
right?
I tell you, the
yeah.
bro, my man got whacked. Whack-a-doodle?
Oh, yeah. I Irish exited on him.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
My man, right? So
and Mr. G, too.
Yeah,
I felt
my
bad.
Father. So my father came to
oh, no.
Yeah, Bobby.
I bounced.
How about my man, right? So we're on the crew. We do a booze cruise, right? Nice. What a nice thing.
After
that
a whole
yeah.
day of drinking.
Right? Right. We did.
I was whacked.
We were wasted all day. We were at the pool drinking, like all day. It was like a 14, 15 hour fest.
Good
right?
session.
But
yeah.
now it's night, right? And we're still drinking. And my man, I know when he's starting to wobble, right?
Like,
he's a wobble. And he's already starting to go. Yeah,
right. I had some sea legs.
Right, you slur.
When I know I need to go,
sick.
I go.
Right, like, and he was like,
he got sick?
Yeah.
No.
Well, not sick. But
yeah.
You were like, not.
I wasn't feeling great.
Right. So then I go, and now I'm worried about you. Right? I legitimately worried that something was going to happen to him. And I couldn't find him. And I'm looking, I stayed to the end. To find out where the bro was, here, this mother father went back to the room.
I'm like Sully on autopilot, man. I'm amazing.
It's unbelievable. I'm like, yo, dude.
I get like that, but I do say goodbye. Like,
you got it, because
I'll
I was worried
just go,
about him.
I'm out. And
I'll
everybody be like, what? I'm like, no, I'm out.
Water.
I know
I'm going,
one thing, then we're
going
to have to fish his ass out of water. The smiley face killer got him. I know one thing Bob likes to do in Vegas, he's talked about, that I like to do also.
What's that?
Love to get out and take a walk. See, like, walk the strip, see the people, walk up and down, stop in, get out there in the fresh air. Love the desert air. So it'll be
great. It's a good time of the year for it.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's a good time of the year for it.
Now,
Bobby was doing, 12 miles, 120 degrees.
Are we coming back with a winner?
Wasn't smart.
Nah.
You don't think it's a winnable game?
Nah. Well, is it a winnable game? Yeah, but do I think they're going to win? Nah.
I like it. You're so clinical about this season, and I doubted you, and I'm wrong. I doubt it.
Who cares? Have a great. You're going to Vegas. You guys are going to have a blast.
We're going to have a blast.
EAGLES, man.
Can't wait.
Who cares? Have fun.
Mandalay Bay Sportsbook, 3 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Ah, that's fabulous, man. That's awesome.
Imagine who's wandering through at that point.
Your man Brent might stop by.
Yeah. Brent may be stopping by, too. He gets up early.
That's my main man.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah. He's the
awesome.
Best.
Thanks, cuz.
Have a safe trip.
Say hello,
fellas.
Everybody.
Send me pictures.
Hey, support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, Farron Electric, and make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR. Cancer research saves lives. Shaquille apologizes. He will catch up with us, and he wanted to unload on Ben Simmons. He will. And we look forward to talking to you tomorrow from Las Vegas. Jamie, we will miss you.
Yeah, have a blast. It's going to be awesome.
We will miss you.
You're going to miss the hell out of me, Bob.
And Bob's packed up.
That's not true.
He's ready to go. John Kincaid Show. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.